Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 111. All right, so before we get into the meat of the show that we recorded at Comic-Con with a lot of awesome people, a couple quick things. We did have the guild planned. We were going to do the guild live at NerdMelt on August 6th. Just due to a couple of scheduling issues, we had to push that to September. So we'll give you more details on the exact date as soon as we figure those out. And if you bought tickets, we will be contacting you to figure out how you want to handle that. All right, so everything's okay. We're just putting it off, so don't get upset. Don't shout at your computer because... I will cry. I feel a tear forming right now. I'm gonna be okay. All right, on to happier things. I would like to thank, we have a couple sponsors for this episode. First of all, thank you so much to Carbonite. Carbonite, of course, online backup. All of our computers will expire. I'm sorry, they don't last forever. That is just how machines work. So before that happens, get Carbonite. Your files are automatically backed up whenever you're connected to the internet. When disaster strikes, you can easily get your files back. You can access them from anywhere that you have internet access. You can get them on a smartphone app. You can get it with the iPad app. Unlimited backup is just $59 a year. That is less than $5 a month. So please start your free 15-day trial today at carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist. And then if you decide to buy, you will actually get 2 free months. So that is an amazing price for your sanity, because I have lost files before and it blows. That's carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist. Also, want to thank GoToMeeting for continuing to sponsor the Nerdist podcast. You probably have had to host an online meeting before, because air travel is so ridiculous that a lot of meetings are being done, of course, digitally. It is your reputation at stake. So if you can't get everything together, you will look like a tool. But GoToMeeting will make sure that you do not look like a tool. You start your first meetings in seconds. Everyone can join your meeting in seconds. There's no technical headaches. They make it super, super easy. This is web conferencing tools that are the best of the best. The folks at Citrix have done an amazing job. They're super nerdy about this stuff. You also get voice over IP, and it's a terrific service. So if you need to do online conferencing, sign up today for a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. Have all the meetings you want for one low flat rate. Go to GoToMeeting.com, click try it free, enter the promo code Nerdist. So thanks to both of those guys for keeping this old rickety bucket afloat. And now the Nerdist Podcast number 111. This is from Comic-Con just a couple weeks ago. Huge, hugely fun show. This is the Riff Tracks guys. Mike Nelson, Kevin Murphy, Bill Corbett. Also Kevin Pereira from G4 was there. And then we had another couple special guests just drop by just for the crap of it. And it was a super, super, super fun show. So here you go. Nerdist Podcast number 111.
Hashtag hugs.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
How's it going? Thanks for coming to the late show, the 11 o'clock show. Hey! Wow, that started quickly. I'd love to introduce two guys that that you probably, if you listen to the podcast, which, why would you be here if you didn't listen to the podcast? Like, I'll just go inside. A bunch of the homeless people wandering around this part of town are like, fuck it, go inside. It's loud in there and warm. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Jonah Ray and Matt Myra! Two Diet Cokes.
Living it!
Double fist of the Diet Cokes.
Now, if I came out with two beers, everyone would think I have a problem.
So you'll just pound that one and then get someone else to bring you out another one.
Yeah, if that could be a thing. If someone wants to buy me a beer when this one's done, I'd really appreciate it.
How's your guys' con been so far? What have you seen that you liked so far? Yeah, this. Oh, adorable.
Matt Myra buying shit.
You saw Matt Myra buying stuff?
What did you buy, Matt?
I bought 2 cells from the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Boom. My favorite part of Comic-Con, I saw a really convincing Venom outfit. Mm-hmm. The guy was in character, moving around like Venom would. And then I noticed that, you know, in the tights he was wearing, he had the craziest, hugest dick. It was. And then all of a sudden, that awesome Venom mask became second place for what I was staring at. It was
crazy.
Why
were
crazy.
You staring at his big Venom dick?
Guess what? Hard not to. That's how big. There's children around, and Venom's dick is fucking huge.
I saw an overweight Venom, and I thought it was the guy you were talking about, because I couldn't remember what was large on the gentleman.
That guy had more
the
of
dick
a...
or everything else?
Yeah, I was like, oh, is it the fact?
You'd think Venom would have the ability to not have a fupa. Like, that's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd think kinda... the Venom suit would, like, suck that up.
Yeah. Not that good.
Well, aliens didn't have to worry about fupas, that's why.
They didn't. You guys know what a fupa is?
It's a fat upper pussy area.
Apparently they didn't know what a fupa was. Yeah,
yeah. I thought everyone knew what a fupa was. I thought everyone knew what a fupa was. Apparently just us.
We're here to educate you as well.
This has been a really fun... Although I haven't really gotten to see anything outside... Because I've been working the whole time, so I haven't really gotten to see anything outside of the stuff that I was working on. But the new Walking Dead trailer looks phenomenal.
Yeah, it looks real good.
I'm seeing it.
That's going to be really awesome. The Black Dynamite cartoon looked great.
Oh.
What did they show?
They showed the thing that they showed. Yeah, they showed the pilot episode that they showed when we did the podcast with
the cast.
And that show is going to be premiering, I think, in spring of 2012. So
nice.
The Black Dynamite show. What else did you see? Did you see anything else?
I saw a lot of nerds dressed up.
You should tell them what that guy said to you.
Oh, that fucking... All right. Some shithead kid in a suit... comes up to me and my girlfriend Deanna and like, you know, taps us. He has this fucking camera with him. He taps us and he's like, are you guys hipsters?
Jesus Christ.
And then like, and we're like, huh? And he's all, oh, you're not dressed up?
Oh.
And then I responded with, oh, are you an asshole? And he's like, yeah, and then walked away.
What a weird exchange.
Yeah, it was odd. I'm thinking now maybe he was on some shitty scavenger hunt where he had to take a picture of like people dressed like certain things. But either way, fuck that guy.
Yeah, right in the face.
Another cool thing that happened is a very excitable kid came up to me yesterday, and you today.
Yeah.
But he came up to me and he's like, oh, are you Jonah? Let me get this... autograph from you, and then like he's like, hey man, I'm Team Jonah. I was like, oh, that's cool. He's like, yeah, fuck Matt Myra. I was like, yeah, that's what he's like. Yeah, that guy's a piece of shit. I was like, whoa, yeah.
That's what happens. Like that's like that old psychological experiment where they divided up kids in the classroom and they said, okay, you're the subservient ones and you're the dominant ones, and then the dominant ones just turned into fucking assholes.
Wait, what are you trying to say?
Nothing. No, but it's just weird that like people will pick a side. And like even on our show, like they'll subgroup within our show and be like Team Jonah, Team Matt, fuck those guys. Like why do we have to be against
each other?
It's
fun. That's how sports work. Now like we've created nerd sports where you just you know, cheer for the doughy guy or
not
the more doughy guy.
Not a lot of running in nerd sports.
Yeah, you know.
But then when I ran into him, I asked him because Jonah had told me the story, I was like, why are you Team Jonah? And he very nervously says, because of the Dave Matthews Band.
Oh. Because you love the Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah, and he hates us.
Oh.
Whatever, it's cool.
Crash into me, yeah.
Better, still better than the entire catalog of Dave Matthews Band, what Chris just said.
Why?
Why? I'll give you no reasons, because you don't need it. What? Are you stealing yourself? Or?
No, I need to know. Let's finally have this out, Jonah.
Nah, we got show to do.
You're right.
No one wants. Yeah. That's like arguing what's the best, Screaming Trees song. No one cares.
I don't understand. Why would you say that? Did you see the DeLorean? You didn't go on the floor at all, did you?
No.
They have the DeLorean from Back to the Future 3 with the fucking vacuum tubes on it and the white
wall
tires.
DeLorean?
Well, you could say
that. Oh, because it was sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't steampunk. It was the 50s. He had to build the vacuum circuits.
Yeah. And it goes on auction in December.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You saving up?
Dude, let's fucking scrape our money together. How much do you guys
all
bring?
All of us.
Just give
us the money, and then we'll call you.
We can each share it. It's like a timeshare.
How much do you think that'll go for?
I
literally a timeshare. Come on, everybody. It's a time. Thank you.
But how much do I think? They estimated it at $4 million.
What? All right, I'm a Back to the Future fan, and that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
The guy who's selling it, there's a show, Hollywood Treasures. The guy who's selling it has this crazy collection, and he sold the Green Goblin mask from the first Spider-Man movie so he could buy a hoverboard with handlebars.
How much did he sell the Green Goblin mask for?
$25,000.
Really?
Yeah. That shit's expensive.
Yeah, but those props, like, they're not... Like, they're just plastic. Like,
yeah, but you could point at it and say, you see that frame of the real Ghostbusters cartoon?
Yeah.
I fucking own that.
And that's when your significant other says, why don't you pay that much attention to me? And she leaves.
Have you been with us recently? Because that sounds very accurate.
Oh, Jesus.
Poor Matthew, we broke him. Yeah. We broke him. We have a lot of guests on this show, a lot of super awesome people that I love that agreed to be on this show. So I'd like to bring out our first guest who will be joining us for the entire episode. Ladies and gentlemen, from G4, Mr. Kevin Pereira! Kevin Pereira!
Here.
You ride shotgun, buddy.
Okay. All right.
This one, let's put you right here.
Hello, everybody.
Kevin Pereira.
Hello. Oh, shit, I'm here all night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
4-hour show, motherfucker.
All right, let's do it. I actually just got back from a 4-hour show.
What show?
And boy, is my penis tired.
Oh, jeez. You guys do Attack today?
We did a 4-hour Attack of the Show and an hour-long panel this morning where a porn star drank a blended shake consisting of Spam, anchovies, Tabasco sauce, mayonnaise.
Please say jizz. Please say jizz. Please say jizz.
No. I didn't have time to finish into the jar, but all the ingredients were combined, and she chugged it to win a T-shirt.
So reaching for that Emmy, huh? Okay.
Oh, yeah. We're so close to that daytime Emmy.
That was just for the panel, though, right?
That was our panel, yeah.
Now, your panel was completely packed.
It was insane,
like, yeah. There were thousands of people.
Well, people thought that there was a Warhammer figure painting panel after ours, so they were camping out through it. Yeah.
They were totally squatting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Attack of the what? I have DirecTV. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Where's the glowy vampires? I don't know.
How's it been? How's it been so far, this con for you?
This con was crazy, man. This con was insane. This was by far the biggest convention and the most fun I've had.
I love the G4 booth because it basically is set up like a turret, so you just have a full view of the floor.
Yeah, yeah. Although the fire marshal told us, he gave us sage advice. He said, listen, you can't look to your left or your right, or else you'll be fined for inciting a riot.
What?
What?
Yeah, like apparently turning the left is a cue for people to drag in a car and set it on fire. Like that is what I was on the line for when I was there.
I did see the dance game was next to the G4 booth. And I saw
I put my hands up in the air sometimes,
but
singing. Shut up, you fucking assholes. Stop playing that song.
Like it's dynamite.
But Kevin, I was walking by when the bosomy cosplay ladies were there and you were waving dollar bills at them.
I did.
That's really
funny. That is true. That's really true. It was me and my 70-year-old stage manager leaning over a rail just leering at like 19-year-old girls dancing to Yayo. It was pretty sad.
And he's not 70, is he?
Pretty close, yeah.
Well, he's probably a lot younger, but he just smokes so much.
Yes.
Doesn't do good things for your body, guys. Are there smokers out there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who really buy their cigarettes at Costco? Because that's the spot. That's where Andy gets them.
So you did shows yesterday and the day before as well. You guys have been doing con. I've been running around so much. I haven't actually. I don't know what we're doing here at the con.
Hi, I'm Kevin. I'm from G4.
Kevin, G4.
Yeah,
I don't have
a show on our
TV. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. I like Tosh.0.
We had a Who doesn't?
Have you seen the things he does? It's crazy.
He's so wacky.
Have you seen the things he says about fat people that get hit by golf carts? Fuck that guy.
A little close to home, a little close to home.
For those of you who are not aware, Matt was in a video where he embarrassed himself horribly. He got run over by a golf cart.
I successfully got the golf cart off the hill. Point me.
Wait, part two.
Yeah. What about
it? The golf cart got on another hill named Matt Myra.
Oh, that sucks. That totally sucks.
I know.
Did you make it on Tosh?
It was the video breakdown.
Oh, congratulations. That's
no.
Yeah.
If his V-necks get any lower, you will just see his testicles.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out. Like, they just get lower and lower.
He'll somehow surpass his dick to show his testicles.
He's inverted, actually. He's an invert.
Yeah.
It's balls before meatage.
Yeah.
It's a level 20. His V-neck, you know, it goes by levels.
What'd you say, balls before what?
Balls before meatage, I think. I don't know. I'm gonna be honest. That sounds
like one of those things, like when they say liquor before beer, never fear. Like balls before meatage, never sweetage,
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah,
like that sounds like a thing. Like don't go for the balls first.
Yeah.
Like wiener then balls. Don't go balls then wiener. That's sort of weird to go reverse.
Noted.
You were gonna do. Kevin was gonna do his stroke of genius show, which he did at the UCB Theater in LA.
Why would you pick that venue anyway?
Why would you? I know. Well, you can do your show at Meltdown too. But listen, what happened? How come Stroke of Genius didn't happen at Comic Con?
the first Stroke of Genius we had, we played a game called Cum Shot Crack Shot.
Uh huh.
And for those gentlemen in the audience who are willing to raise a soggy hand, you'll admit that it's a skill to be able to jump right to the cum shot in a porno when you're watching online. You want to finish along. It's like a choose your own adventure, right, Jonah?
No, I don't want to finish along.
So we called people out from the crowd to actually play this game, and if they got it right, they won a fleshlight. If they got it wrong, adult superstar April O'Neil would give them a facial.
Uh-huh.
This was one of the highlights of our show. It's a very, very family-friendly show.
Yeah.
And we had the Balboa Theater, like the prestigious Balboa Theater, booked for the show when the lawyer saw a clip from it. And then said, "You will not be doing this podcast here." And all the ushers were very sad.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm so sorry.
The ushers.
I'm so sorry that you didn't get to fill the Balboa Theater with crack shot, cum shot.
Me too.
Mike Furman and I have performed in theaters before that are really nice. And then, you know, we have this song about Abraham Lincoln where the chorus is "Put your lips around my balls and suck and suck and suck." And, so we always
but that's just, historically accurate.
It is. That's what he. Yeah, it is historically accurate. And we always just feel like, oh, we are soiling this prestigious venue with.
I don't feel bad about that.
No,
I never feel a moment of regret about that.
I feel like the theater kind of likes it.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I think so. I think Stroke of Genius is.
You're going to do it again in LA at some point, right?
If they'll allow us. We were across the street from the Church of Scientology, which was a real.
I lived right there, and I always felt a little safer because they had those guys walking around all the time in the Navy.
You felt safer because of that?
I did, because their security's like...
There's a shitload of security.
Yeah, they're like assholes. So like, I would leave my Jeep parked out there with the top down, and I wouldn't worry about it. And then it got broken into, but that's not the point.
Yeah. By a Scientologist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He was so full of Thetans that day.
The Scientologist was trying to convert your Jeep.
It was off the charts.
Yeah. Took your radio.
I won't go in there because I feel like they'd take me.
They'll audit your spare tire.
Well, I just don't know if my brain is strong enough to withstand.
Yeah, because what if you're like, what if they say something and you're like, I never thought of it that way. Like weird Jedi mind tricks.
So
and
I'm like,
fuck with your brain.
I won't go in there.
I'll be the base of your trust pyramid. Let's go.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, thank
money.
And the next time
money.
We see Myra, he's just like, one of us, one of us.
But I would do it in a nice navy blue pant and a white shirt.
Yes, very smartly dressed. We have a couple special guests that we want to invite out, so hopefully he's ready to join us on stage right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Benson is here! Where is he? Doug Benson.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, DB.
Hey, everybody.
By the way, I showed up and I was like, smells like Doug Benson back here.
Which smells like Otto's jacket.
Only Doug Benson could turn aluminum foil into a pipe.
That was done by my porn star friend, but whatever. humble brag, right?
It depends.
Yeah, it depends on how you look at it. But it's great to be here on the Nerdist podcast during Comic-Con. I can't believe it.
Doug Benson.
It's late. Is everybody drinking?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Having
if anyone
some
wants
cocktails?
To give me another beer, I'd really appreciate
it. Yeah, Jonah Ray needs another beer, everybody. He's drinking beer.
I'm drinking Blue Moon.
It's weird. The lights are dark, so it looks like people are lit by black light.
Yeah.
And so I can't see anybody except for like one dude who looks like he's covered in semen. Like there's one very glowy guy right
there.
Oh, okay.
Well, we are near a naval base.
Yeah.
I was going to say he's cosplaying a uterus.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
Yeah. No, you're welcome.
You lucky bastard. You get to come inside, don't you?
Yeah. What?
I'm still not comfortable with the expression cosplay, because to me that sounds like you're going to all pretend to be members of Bill Cosby's family.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah,
that.
Yeah,
right. I can't get past that.
Yeah. I really think cosplay should just be when a Japanese girl dress up like Bill Cosby, and they just, like, you know, throw up the peace sign and go, Theo Rudy.
I'm playing with your balls now. I'm playing with your balls.
They really wear really tight, colorful sweaters.
Yeah, yeah. Jello pudding papu. Sorry.
Oh, my God. Sexy Bill Cosby with such a weird Halloween costume.
Yeah, yeah.
Sexy Bill Cosby. Someone's totally got to do that.
Who wants pudding?
I'm pudding, bro.
Doug, how's your Comic-Con been so far?
Oh, my God. Today, I took a picture and I put it on Twitter. I don't put a lot of pictures on Twitter, but this picture I had to put on Twitter of a baby, a toddler, a one-something-year-old, completely dressed up as Heath Ledger's Joker from Dark Knight.
I'm talking
green hair, white face, red all around the mouth.
Did he say, why so serious?
Oh, that's adorable.
That's adorable.
That is adorable. That is adorable.
He did say that, and then I kicked him in the face.
Fuck yeah, you gotta take him down.
Yeah, and then he shoved my head onto a... Somebody made a joke...
Want to see a twick?
You shoved your head down onto a pacifier?
No, onto a... Somebody made the joke on Twitter
Oh,
that,
thank you so much!
You summoned the beer goddess!
Holy shit!
You just gotta ask for things in life, Kevin.
I sure would love a cup of $1 million.
A basket of vagina would be nice right now. If we could just
a
get
basket,
that.
Really? But what would you do and with a basket of them?
Rifle through it and pick out the finest ones. Take them to the farmer's market
and
sell
it. In true con fashion, just rifling through.
No, this isn't a limited edition. No.
Oh, pristine. I'll take this one.
This box is mint.
Hey! What, I don't know if your microphone is on. No.
Yeah, we don't. Matt, it's cool. You could sit out for a while.
Doug,
you want to come share a mic? Come on.
No.
Water's warm.
His is kind of working.
It's working enough.
If you have something really good, grab mine.
It's not really working.
It's not working at all.
So, Doug, when you're at the convention, do people, I went to Colorado for the High Times Awards.
Yeah.
Who's hosting this thing?
Miss High Times. Gave me an awkward reach around and slipped a Ziploc baggie filled of weed into my pocket. And I was working. I could not have it on me. Couldn't smoke it. I imagine when you're walking around the con, like Batgirl or the Green Lantern, someone's slipping you something in your pockets, no?
Nobody tries to give me weed on the floor.
Really?
No, we just take pictures and autographs and that kind of stuff. But yeah, no one's tried to give me weed out there. They all say, let's go smoke. You know, that's the big thing is let's go smoke. And I go, oh, where? Like under banner 2500? Like, I don't know where there's a good
Artist
smoke.
Sally, bro.
I have yet to, in my years of coming to Comic-Con, I haven't found the good smoking spot.
No, he's right. Artist Alley, that's where it's all dangerous. Yeah.
It's because no one's there. They're not going to catch you smoking.
Oh, shit. It was so crowded today that Artist Alley was fucking packed today.
People were actually looking at comic books at Comic-Con.
Weird.
Yeah, I know, right?
They were like, oh, I can't get into that movie thing. I might as well look at a comic book.
Oh, there's not another Tron coming out? Well, I guess I'll go buy this fucking Donald Duck.
It's so interesting, like, the kinds of things that you see at Comic-Con, like... Really should, like, Lifetime have a... I don't know.
There was a Lifetime... Well, this is way too loud. There was a Lifetime booth?
I thought so, but maybe... I mean, Glee is going to be here.
Glee is here.
But
there
I feel
was, like a
slushy
brigade
for Comic-Con.
And stuff, yeah.
Oh, you guys care about Glee?
I've never seen it either.
You know what? You guys are all right.
Their panel is at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, the day when most people are just leaving anyway.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest slot in the world. Like, Sons of Anarchy is like 2 in the afternoon tomorrow. I might go to that. And I definitely want to go see, they're going to show the Buffy musical episode.
Once More with Feeling.
Yeah, from 4 to 5 tomorrow, and everyone gets to sing along, so that's going to be a nightmare.
Oh my God, that's going to be fucking amazing.
But I love that episode.
It's a really great episode.
I really do like it. I like, as you know, Chris, I like musicals, and I'm very disappointed that Tom Cruise is playing the role that you originated in the musical Rock of Ages.
I know. I was in a play. I did the Rock of Ages play when it started in L.A. And then when it moved to New York, I couldn't go because I was working at G4 and I was playing Talking Now.
Yeah, you got things to do.
I had things to do. And the idea.
Wait, you say you couldn't go because you're working at G4 and you were playing a talking cow.
Those are the two things that I was doing.
Really, that's what stopped you from touring to New York?
Well, here's the thing.
You could phone in the talking cow from New York.
That's what I mean. And like in G4, you can phone in as well. So
I never really wanted to be on like a Broadway actor. And the thing is that, you know, like doing 8 shows a week, you can't do anything else. Like right. It's like you have to love Broadway.
It is your whole life.
You can't talk during the day because you don't want to blow your voice out. I wouldn't have had time to do stand up. I would have had to basically just quit everything I was working on. And I wasn't really passionate about doing Broadway, so I had to turn it down. And then it got really big, and they made the movie, and now Tom Cruise is playing the part that you
originated.
It's gonna be interesting.
And he's gonna say one of the lines that you riffed that they put into the permanent script.
It's gonna be interesting to see, like, because I riffed stuff that made it that they kept and they made it into the show. So it's gonna be interesting to see like what.
What's
like,
your favorite riff that you did that's still in the show?
Hey, who's hosting this?
At the end, no, it's good. It's good. I like talking about myself. At the end of the show, they say Stacey Jacks, like, he had to go to South America.
Yeah.
And the ending song is Don't Stop Believin'. And so when we were doing the show, I was like, oh, it'd be really funny if that character sang his part in Spanish because he went to... So I went to one of the dancers and I was like, oh, you seem Latino. What is it? Can you translate
you
this?
You seem Latino?
Yeah.
You look lazy.
No, that's not what I was going to say.
Kevin. We've been working together for a few weeks.
I can say that.
Yeah, he is Portuguese. He can say that.
Me too. We're like Spanish, but clean.
Jesus Christ.
Relax.
Come on.
Jesus Christe.
Jesus Christe. So I took him the lyrics, Don't Stop Believing, and then he's trying to translate it. So I was like, un cantante en el cuadro armado, el ritmo en el fume barato. And so we sang, and then ended up becoming like a fun moment of the show, and they kept it. So I'm going to be interested to see.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Cruise is going to sing Don't Stop Cruise Believing in Spanish.
Oh, my
and
God.
It's going to be all because of Chris Hardwick.
Yay! Yay.
And he'll never know. He'll never know.
But that was a super fun show. What other?
Well, let me tell you this: if you ever meet Tom Cruise, definitely tell him I originated the role of Stacey Jacks, because whether he gives a shit or not, he'll act like he's fascinated by that piece of information. That guy is a politician / actor. Like, I've met him twice, and both times he could not have been nicer to me for no good reason.
Well, what's wrong with just that he might be a nice guy?
Way too hyped about whatever you say to him.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah,
did he jump on the chair?
That's awesome.
He is just.
You had a porn star that made a pipe out of aluminum foil?
That's insane.
Yeah,
I love aluminum foil.
He would act so excited about that. Like, he is just. He is fucking.
So I'm going to tell him I originated the role of Maverick.
Well, he might look at you kind of. He might be wondering that maybe that was James Garner.
Right.
That did that.
Yep.
Because he does know his shit.
He might be batshit crazy.
You can't pull one of those over Tom Cruise. You can't go up and say I was the original Maverick and he's going to buy it.
Doug Benson, what movies have you seen recently that you enjoy?
Well, I recently took my mother to see Bridesmaids and I enjoyed most of it except for the very first scene where Jon Hamm and Kristen Wiig are like, fucking in a million different positions.
What if you didn't see it with your mom? Would you like it a little better?
He wouldn't have finished.
Oh, Kev.
Sorry, I forgot it was all ages tonight, Chris.
No, 21 and over.
Oh, these people are all over 21?
Yep.
Ooh. Well, then let's fucking do it.
Yeah, right?
I felt bad. A lot of people who were not 21 kind of got miffed at me, and I'm like,
"Fuck that kid! He was Team Jonah."
Yeah, it wasn't our fault. There was, you know, it's maybe you guys know it's difficult to get a venue at Comic-Con, and so we were able to secure this wonderfully spacious venue. The only caveat was that it's 21 and over. So,
no, that's the caveat at a lot of places where you know, First Amendment adult comedy and alcohol coexist. And, like, it drives me crazy when I'm performing out in the country. The messages from someone on Twitter going, oh, good, thanks a lot. I'm 19, so I can't see your fucking show at your stupid bar that you're performing in. And it's just like, seriously, please do what all of us have done and grow up.
Yeah.
Like a few years from now, you're going to be able to get into shit, and then a few years later, you're going to wish you were 17 again. Like,
And then if you and a 17-year-old are near a lightning storm, your brains will switch, because that's how lightning works.
Yeah. No, then you're going to get to an age where you're glad there's not kids running around a show you're at, making you feel old.
Oh, yeah.
God yeah, damn. It's just, it's all, it's ridiculous. Like, everybody wants what they, you know, everyone wants, all the old wants to be young, the young wants to be old, and they're all fucking
you can't,
stupid.
You can't perform, though. At a, I think we were talking to Sarah Silverman at the UCB a couple of months ago, and she was saying she did a college show, and all the kids, their face was just in their fucking phones. Like, they would not.
Yeah, they're texting about what a great time they're having.
and, but actually not having a
they're
time.
They're Facebook yeah. and Twittering. This is the most hilarious show I've ever seen.
I'm downvoting this conversation on Reddit right now. Sorry.
Man, another thing.
How come you don't respond to my LinkedIn requests?
Oh, LinkedIn is just the saddest social network.
I'm not,
who the fuck is
I'm
gonna,
not
like,
fucking,
hey.
I'm not on it. Why does every person that's trying to get
and
me
you know
on it
sucks
have
about,
to remind
what
me
sucks
every
about LinkedIn
other
is
day?
Every time someone fucking... It's impossible to turn up to say to LinkedIn.
You can't say LinkedIn.
Don't ever
yeah.
send
no,
me another
you.
Thing. You would right. have to create an email rule, if you, you know, and say if you see the words LinkedIn... Then
LinkedIn is just a friendly reminder that your friend lost his job. That's all yeah. it is. Would you recommend me or wanna sign up? And no, delete.
No.
Sorry, buddy. I mean,
damn it.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's fucking. I can't. I don't know how to write to the person and say I don't care that you're on a job search. I am a sole proprietor of a business that's run and operated, and I'm all of it. Like, do you guys have assistants yet? Chris Hardwick and Kevin Pereira? Not
I don't,
Matt
I don't
and
have
Jonah.
An assistant. I don't, I'm too much of a control freak. I do everything myself.
Right, that's my thing. Is it's just like, why would I want someone else doing my like plane reservations for me who's going to be like, I got you a middle seat.
You know what? And you know what else? A real, like a really good assistant is a lot of fucking money. Like, you know, 75, 100 grand to have like a really solid assistant.
I'll take it.
Spit take.
Holy, are you kidding me?
No.
I thought you could just give some, you know, college students some intern
points. No, listen,
points.
You can go to Craigslist
and
you can pick up some dude on a curb, you know, like an old couch and tell him to run your errands, but it might not be done
then
properly.
You can fuck his sister afterwards. Craigslist.
Yeah.
Could you help me put this couch in the back of this van? Was she a real big fat person?
Oh, you got me, Doug Benson. You got me.
Your show was so much fun the other night, by the way. Doug Benson did a live show the other night at the Tipsy Crow.
Tipsy Crow, a nice little basement
what
venue.
What a great venue that was. What a really fun, like, you know, a couple hundred people. It was perfect. It was
yeah,
really,
yeah,
it was
a good vibe. I thank you for doing it.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
Brian Posehn was there, and it was a lovely time. I got to get back to San Diego more often. There's just not enough...
You're from here, right?
Yeah. I grew up out in the El Cajon, La Mesa area.
Yeah. What? But I don't know. I mean,
you're not driving back there, are you?
But San Diego, as gorgeous of a town as it is, what's interesting to see these two completely divergent species of, especially during Comic-Con, it's like downtown, you see a bunch of cool nerds, and I'm sorry to say this, San Diego, you have a douchebag infestation. There's like, there are a lot of fucking bros hanging out.
Chris, to be fair, the nerds infested the city during Comic-Con. The Navy was already here.
Fuck.
No, but
dude,
there's
like broskies wandering
around. There's downtown in every city in the country kind of has like a kind of douchebag central yeah. because they have like a street or two or three or in this case seven or eight
yeah.
where there's just bar after bar after bar. And they just all come down and get, you know, and get drunk and then fight in the streets. Like tonight, after we're all done here having our nice little nerdy conversations.
Oh, we should all go out and fuck some people up.
That's what I was going to suggest.
No, it's just like fucking Pauly D jumped in the script of Multiplicity. And it's like, now there's a bunch of you.
Wait, you mean there was some phenomenal DJing going on? Because he's great on the ones and twos.
Oh.
Did you guys see the Beavis and Butthead revamp, by the way?
Yes.
It looks so good, and they're making fun of
watching
Jersey.
Them make fun of Jersey Shore is really satisfying.
Oh, that's
comforting.
Great.
It's very comforting.
I just hope they don't touch
that's
Teen
perfect.
Mom. I love that show.
No, they won't.
So good. Macy's the best mother.
Don't touch Teen Mom.
We have another guest that I want to bring out. That's
Let's get him
us.
Out here.
So,
spoiler.
Spoiler. So, ladies and gentlemen, maybe if you're familiar with the show 30 Rock, you might know our next guest, who is the world champion, Judah Friedlander. Well, I think it's back there somewhere. There he is.
The world champion.
Let's put you over here, Judah Friedlander.
Judah!
Hey, good to see you, man.
Nice to see you, too.
Is this hat in Braille, the one you have on right now?
Yeah, my hat says world champion in Braille.
Also, notice that he came out with the biggest water.
Yeah, this is actually bleached stormtrooper blood right here.
How have you been, Judah Friedlander?
Just being cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, things are good, man. I'm having a great time here in San Diego. Great con. I've done a lot of cons before, but I've never done the San Diego one. And best burritos in the country are right here in San Diego. So,
did you buy? You said you were going to wander around and buy some art.
I haven't bought any art yet. I walked around today because I was doing signings yesterday and the day before, and I did two stand-up shows the other night. So I walked around and I was looking at stuff today. I almost bought a poster and some art stuff, and then I caught up with Joyce Brabner, Harvey Pekar's wife, and was talking with her. I hadn't seen her in years, so I was chatting with them. And you know, you just get kind of Comic Con's great. It's kind of like, to me, it's almost like the Sundance Film Festival, New Year's, and Halloween. You know, yeah. It's just like this amazing, you know, celebration of just everything that, you know, people are passionate and they love it and they're celebrating it. So it's great. So you just keep. You know, today I was walking around and it's like surf of the net. You go one place, you have a plan, and then you meet someone else and you go there and then you go there. So, yeah, tomorrow I'll be checking out a lot of it too.
There
so.
Must be other people dressed as world champion Judah Friedlander walking around.
Yeah, sometimes there are. My favorite thing that happened to me so far was I was walking into the con yesterday and two cops pointed me and they go, "Nice costume." So that one I really liked, man.
You look just like that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
The world champion has become bigger than Judah Friedlander. Yeah.
No, sometimes I actually meet people and they think I'm dressed up as me and then I tell them it's me and then they get angry and then...
You're the inception of people.
Yeah, and then I'm like, so you think it's more likely, because I live in New York and I'm like, you know, there's not as much show business in New York as there is in L.A., but I'm like, there's showbiz people. So I'm like, you think it's more likely you're meeting a guy dressed up as me? And this is not during the convention. This is just during a regular fucking day. Right. I'm like, you think it's more likely there's someone dressed up as me than me? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, whatever. Then they're like, but you're still cool. I'm like, okay, fine, now, whatever.
I've known you for quite a few years, and yeah. You know, I saw your, you know, we used to do a lot of the same stand-up.
Yeah, when I lived in L.A. for about, work took me out here from like 02 to 04, so yeah, that's about, I got to know you around like 2000, 2002, yeah.
How did you start, this isn't getting too meta, like how did you start developing the world champion?
Oh, it was, it was a progression. I've been doing stand-up since 89, and that's always been my main thing. I'm probably known less for stand-up than I am for acting stuff.
Is that weird? Because in your mind, I felt that sometimes, too. Like, oh, I missed, like, when I first started doing headlining shows and people weren't showing up. I'm like, why don't people go, I didn't know you did stand-up. I'm like, oh, I thought that was the main thing
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, you know, I live in New York, and I do probably, you know, 15 or more shows a week, and I've been doing that for, you know, since, you know, 89, pretty much. And
and you've been the world champion of shows in New York ever since then.
Yeah, it's true, man. It's a good point. No, yeah, but the world champion stuff started probably around 10 years ago, and it was a gradual thing. When I was a kid, I was always obsessed with Guinness Books of World Records, and I actually tried to break records. When I was 8, I tried to break the pogo stick record, and I did it for an hour straight without missing when I was 8, but I got fucking bored, and so I was like,
that's,
breaking
that's
records.
No one ever talks about kinda, the boredom. That's
I'm like, wow, this, because the record at the time, I think, was 8 hours straight, and I was like, fuck it, that's just, I can't.
When I was 8 years
an
old.
An hour is pretty good, though.
When I was 8, I also tried to break a world record, but it was for stacking sugar cubes.
What?
And that's, I had awesome, my mom go, man, out and get me hundreds of sugar cubes, and I could not get more than 10 to stand on top of each other. It was
so
sad.
How far from the record were you?
Hundreds.
Yeah, cool. So, but at least you tried, man.
But
so that's,
we had
good,
sugar cubes for years.
A for effort. Yeah. D minus for execution, but thank A for effort.
Actually, F for execution. He
that's
fucking
true.
Failed.
That's pretty fucking bad.
You know, Judah, I remember the one of the first times we met, you overheard me talking about air hockey and how much I like to play it and how good I am. Yeah. And you, like, I remember it was before the real world champion stuff started going on. You were like, oh, you play air hockey? Yeah. I'm good. I was like, oh, really? You want to play some? You're like, fuck yeah. I'll fucking kick your ass.
Yeah, I will, dude. I am really fucking good at air hockey.
I am really good at air hockey.
Yeah.
I always liked your joke about bowling.
Like, oh, that's an old joke. I don't do that much anymore. I bowled a 300 using a golf ball. Yeah. If I use a regular bowling ball, forget about it. My best score is a 480, and that's on the third frame. They had to shut the game down because killed some kids in the lane next to me. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm fucking good, man. Yeah.
That's what I always loved about it. Like, I always kind of, I was always jealous of, like, with my stand-up, it was just like, oh, I don't know. I just write down things that, like, just more like observational stuff, and I was always kind of jealous that I didn't have a point of view or a character, because it just seems like once you have that in place, so many jokes become apparent because you're writing within the voice of that character.
Right, right. But at the same point, you also have to be careful that you don't become that. You like my character doesn't become shticky. You know, you don't want it to be like a one note thing.
Right.
You know, and it is always changing. And initially, it came from doing. My act has always been very joke heavy. And then it eventually became character heavy as well. And so now it's like a mix of joke heavy and character heavy. And then it kind of happened with, I remember at the time, this was like 10 years ago, almost all the comics were always trying to bond with the audience. You know, like, hey, you ever notice this? And hey, I do too. And hey, we're all relating. And I just
I decided to take
the opposite approach and just be kind of like, I can't relate to what any of people go through because my life is just so incredible. And then it also, I would do a lot of sets, and there was this one open mic club. It was in a hamburger store. And
a
restaurant, I guess. Okay. You should call it.
What do you want to do today? Go shopping for hamburgers?
Yeah. I went to a hardware restaurant the other day.
You know, I misspeak all the time, and a friend of mine was saying I should do a book, and we were saying I should call it Bad Word Sentence Things. And, because I always say shit wrong. Like one time, like,
I love hamburger store though. Yeah, that's a great hamburger way to describe
store.
It.
Yeah, because it is a fucking hamburger store. And
the bottom shelf is the really cheap ones in the bags.
Yeah.
Burgies.
But I don't know, but I do say things wrong a lot. I remember one time I was like someone was going to lend me some pants because my pants got all dirty. I needed a clean pair of pants to wear on a show.
This is a good story. And I was like, what happened to your pants?
What's that? I spilled a bunch of shit on it. You
wait,
know?
Actual
so
shit?
They're like, no, not actual shit. No, I have plenty. I have shit in my pants before. Yeah, I've had to do that. One time, all right, I'll tell you, this is digressing here, but okay. This is a good two-part shit story.
Two-part.
The best guess. Yeah.
I think
it's called the journey, everybody.
I think it has to be a two-part shit story.
Yeah, I was. The New York City used to have an improv club, and I did a set there, and I had a set downtown, and that's in Midtown. And I drive in New York City. I'm kind of crazy. I drive everywhere. But at night, it's pretty easy. And so anyways, I'm driving from 34th Street down to roughly 3rd Street.
Okay.
And I'm like, and I feel this ridiculous sort of pain and like not bad pain, but like this is definitely diarrhea kind of feeling. And I'm driving my friend he doesn't have a car, so I'm giving him a lift downtown because he lives near the comedy club. I'm going from the improv to the comedy cellar. And he lives right near the comedy cellar. So he's like, give me a ride? I'm like, sure. And I'm driving down. I'm like, dude, I let him out where he lives, and I'm like, dude, I got to go to the bathroom. And he's like, well, I live right over here. And luckily, there was a parking spot right there, so I park. He lives on this fifth floor, no elevator. So I got to walk up five stories holding the diarrhea. Yeah. I get into his apartment, and I knew him okay. I didn't know him that well. I'm basically just giving him a ride. Oh God, and I basically go to his toilet and shit diarrhea for about 15 minutes. And then I'm like, sorry, dude, but... thanks, but I got to go do another show right now, so I got to go. So sorry for shitting diarrhea in your toilet for 15 minutes, but I fucking got to run to a show or I'm going to be late.
Well, what would you do? Just have a good conversation with him afterwards?
Yeah,
now
yeah.
That's done. We never spoke again.
No.
Part one?
That's part one. Okay. That's part one. So then I do my show at the Comedy Cellar. It's a couple hours later. I'm talking to a friend of mine outside the club. It's like 2:30 in the morning now. I start feeling that twinge in my stomach again. And I lived in Brooklyn at the time. I'm about a 15-minute drive from the Village. And I'm like, I can make it. And I'm not even into the Williamsburg Bridge yet, so I'm about halfway home, and I cannot hold it in anymore, and I'm having to press the gas pedal down with my foot and hold in diarrhea at the same time.
It's like trying to hold
so
fire.
I'm like, do I crash my car or do I shit my pants? Yeah. So I actually had to make the mental decision. I'm like, or I both. Have to shit my pants.
Yeah.
So I just shit my pants as I'm driving my car.
Fight and fright.
And I was like, wow, that is warm.
It's
and,
an easier. It's an easier.
Then, cold and, really
then,
fast.
And then I had to put, and then I put some newspaper underneath my seat, and then I get home and it's New York City. I drive, in 6 minutes I'm home, and then 45 minutes later I find a parking spot 10 blocks from my apartment. And then I get home, it's now about 5 in the morning, and I showered for like an hour and a half.
Crying.
I went to bed at like, 6 a.m. or something.
Did you just leave your car forever?
I found a spot. I found a spot. Yeah, it was like, 5:30 in the morning. I fucking walked home. People are getting ready, going for work and shit. But it was that feeling of just, of like, wow, it makes you feel very human and very grounded. We were like, I have to shit my pants, and I can't help it.
We would have Twitter at this time.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have loved to follow the minute by minute.
Yeah. So since then, sometimes when I'm on the road, I don't do it anymore. But I think for a good 4 years after that, if I ever had a road gig and I was driving my car, I would take an extra pair of pants just in case. But I don't do that anymore. I'm okay.
Did you have that moment in the morning when you woke up from that and you were like, "Fuck! I shit my pants last night." And my car is shitting it.
Yeah, no, I did have to clean. The seat didn't have any, shit on it, but it did kind of smell the car, so I did have to
burn
clean that some. Yeah, and I did throw my jeans out. I did not keep the jeans or my underwear.
I can save these.
That was an easy call. Yeah. I had no idea I'd be telling diarrhea shit stories, so for listening, I apologize.
Like, do you have any idea what it was? Did you just get a bug, or was it something you ate?
It was something I ate, yeah. I mean, because I was fine, Yeah, so afterwards, I was fine. But yeah, it was a good 4 hours of...
It
was just two diarrheas, but it was over a four-hour period.
That's all it takes.
Like, I talked to my dad, my dad, because he's older, and so things, your priorities change. And he said to me with the utmost sincerity, you just can't appreciate how lucky you are that you can just shit. Like, it's like that's where it gets to when you get older that you, because we just take all these things for granted.
No, it's true, yeah. People don't realize, but seriously, people have health issues and stuff like that. If you're working fine, if your body's working fine, that's a blessing. It really is.
Yeah. There's actually a nice message at the end of all that somehow. Yeah.
The more you know.
The more you know.
I always try to give back to society.
Just shitting at the stars, shitting across the sky.
The world champion, that's part of my message. Yeah.
The old brown rainbow shooting across
space. I gotta say, ultimately, as the world champion, you shit more than anyone else.
That's true.
That is actually kind of a win.
I was for a while, about 15 years ago, I used to do a lot of shit jokes, and I was actually going to make an all shit joke CD, and maybe I'll still do that someday. We'll see.
Are you touring a lot right now?
This summer, I've been on the road almost all summer, and I'm pretty burnt out. It's the traveling is tiring, and then I love doing radio, but the hours are tough because you have to do shows at like midnight. And then you have to get up at 5:45 a.m. and do 4.5 hours of local radio and TV, which I like doing, but it's just constant sleep deprivation. So that's actually tough.
I've had to take red eyes and get driven from the airport to the radio station.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just shaking because you don't feel
your body's in pain. Yeah, you need rest. Yeah.
You get there and they're like, "Are you okay?" And then off air, you're like, "No."
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not okay at all.
No, you gotta. Sleep's important. No.
Are you just Kevin? You've kind of told.
I don't have a shit story. I'm sorry.
No, please. I think we did enough. Yeah.
Are you toying with the idea of doing stand up at all?
God, no.
Really?
No, terrified by it.
Really?
Nothing to say on stage.
Come on.
Absolutely nothing. No.
You have tons of stuff. You're funny on the show.
Well, thank
you're
you.
Very good, dude.
It's a lot of writers.
Because I plugged my book on your show.
You plugged the shit out of your book. And you were. I got three questions in an interview when it was done.
And you were awesome, man.
Thank you
very much.
Yeah.
I mean, very quick and very funny and smart and knowledgeable.
Oh,
I was impressed.
Kiss
him.
No, it's all right, man. I'll just feel them under the table.
I'm terrified by the immediate feedback of a swing and a miss. You know, the Attack of the Show, we do the show every day in a shoebox of a studio, and it's the same kind of PAs and production assistants working on the show. And the notion of doing that on a stage just absolutely terrifies me.
Really?
I mean, I would shit myself on stage.
Then that would be your thing, and you'd have to shit your pants.
Right. Yeah. Hey, good night,
but that's
everybody.
Just because, I mean, you know, for me, I mean, I remember the first time I did stand up, I was nervous. I was always very introverted. But now it's actually the most relaxing thing I do.
Yeah.
You know, like regular everyday life is scary for me.
It's really funny you say that.
But stand up, people like, why'd you do 4 shows tonight? I'm like, because that's the only thing I'm fucking good at. You know, that's the most relaxing thing I do is doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah, because other people don't have lines. It's like all you talking.
Yeah, there's no director.
So that's nice.
You know, it's just you and the audience together, you know.
I remember shows like years ago when I was first starting, and then like off stage, for whatever reason, I was having a lot of anxiety about something. Mm-hmm. Going on stage would make it totally go away.
Yeah.
Like, I would feel okay again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're feeling sick and you walk out on stage, a lot of times you feel all
adrenaline.
Right. Yeah, you get like this rush of like,
you
okay.
You can pick up a car.
Yeah, yeah. And then you walk off stage and you collapse. And
and your baby's still under the car.
That's why you have to get the gamma radiation so you can get the strength that all humans have. Really, I couldn't be the only one that's ever seen the Incredible Hulk television series.
Dude,
Comic-Con.
I love that series.
You're the only one,
how did you get, what was your involvement with 30 Rock? Did they kind of write that character for you, or did you audition for it?
No, I auditioned for it. It was
to go in and be like, I'm going to wear a hat that says...
Well, you know, I've done a lot, you know, before I did 30 Rock, I had probably done about 25 movies.
You also did a Dave Matthews Band music video.
Where I was hugging people, and that one I looked like me.
I mean, you guys know that Judah was in American Splendor, right? Did you see?
I played Toby Radloff in American Splendor, the genuine nerd. My hair was probably about as short as yours when I did that, and I had a shave and everything. So when I got cast in American Splendor, I looked like I do now, but I had to, really change my look and, you know, change my voice and how I walk and talk. And I like doing the whole chameleon thing in movies, and I used to do that a lot, but with 30 Rock, I haven't had the chance because we film so often. Mm-hmm. And when I booked 30 Rock, it was based on a couple of different Saturday Night Live writers. I thought it was just based on one guy because in the script, there's no mention of a hat or glasses. Mm-hmm. It was a big guy with long ZZ Top hair was the description, and you know, blue collar Jersey guy, and or Queens guy, I can't remember. But so anyways, what are we talking about? I totally forgot.
You're being cast on the show.
Oh yeah, So I had one audition. I think Tina was about 8 months pregnant, and I went in, they said great, and then for 5 months later, they told me I got it, and the whole time over those 5 months, I knew I was either their top choice or the top two choices, and I knew the character, I knew the role well, because over the years, I've known a lot of guys that have written for SNL, and and Tina's a great writer, so the words flew easily, and when I got offered the show, I told them that I actually... You know, this is 8 or 9 months out of the year, and I do stand up all the time, and I have a specific look, and I need to keep my look, mm-hmm. you know, for that. And so the character I play on 30 Rock is quite a bit different than, it's similar, but a lot different than what I do on stand up. Mm-hmm. You know, Frank Rossitano wishes he could be the world champion, but he's not, you know,
but Judah
he's still cool. Yeah, Judah Friedlander is. Yeah.
Go ahead. What's the most common challenge you get out in the world, out in the wild, if you will, the general public, when they see you, the world champion?
Oh.
What's the first thing they want to challenge you on?
You know, some people want to challenge me, but most people are cool. People know me from a variety of things, you know. I mean, some people don't know me from 30 Rock at all. Some people will still know me from only the Dave Matthews video. I remember I was in Iowa a few years ago, and some guy's like, dude, I know you, Spring Break Lawyer. And I'm like, yep, I was in Spring Break Lawyer. That was a made-for-MTV TV movie that was released on VHS only. Spring Break Lawyer.
Not
the worst movie I've ever done, but definitely the worst sounding movie I've ever done. I don't know, but I've done a lot of bad fucking movies. I've done a few good ones, but I've done some bad ones, too.
There's some talk right now about Wet Hot American Summer.
I did Wet Hot American Summer. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, that was fun.
They're
having some
10-year
anniversary stuff.
I can't believe that already. Fucking 10,
I know,
10 years.
I know,
such a great movie, though.
Yeah. That was fun. I went up there for a couple days, and... Actually, I think only a day, but I had to get up there a day early. I only did a day of filming, and remember they had a little rec room there with a ping pong table, and Chris Maloney was like the champ, and I went up there and I beat him like twice in a row, and he got really fucking angry. And but hey, that's the way it goes, man.
That movie has one of my favorite. It's a
sex scenes.
No, no. Well, yeah, but the joke that unhinges me in that is, could you guys pick up some lube for my pussy? Like the way she says that line, it's such a fucking. That movie is so full of such great.
I love that we should
characters.
All meet here in 10 years. I don't know. I got a thing. I got a thing 10 years from now. I can't meet here at this exact time.
Yeah, no, that was fun to do, and I got to work with Molly Shannon, who I was a fan of. I never met, and she was one of the sweetest, nicest people I've ever met. So that's always cool, you know. Yeah. So. But yeah, that was fun. But yeah, I want to do more movies. I want to one day make my own movies. I'm trying to make a world champion movie, and I want to do some like low budget, like R X-rated, like horror sci-fi.
X-rated or X?
Well, yeah,
pretty big difference.
Triple X. I mean,
some of the old horror.
An NC-17, I guess.
Oh,
whatever.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Not a straight up porno.
They didn't have NC-17
but,
yet.
Exactly.
One has decapitation.
Right. There used to be just.
Yeah.
Right. There used to be
double X.
Yeah. There used to be X. I guess double X and triple X. Yeah. But now it's just R and then triple X. But yeah. But you know.
There's just R and fisting.
Yeah. But I want
which
to do
one
some,
has
like,
fucking
budget,
you know, what'd
slasher
you say?
Type movies? Yeah.
I want to hear about your book. Your book, How to Beat Up Anybody.
Oh yeah, I have it here. Well, it's called How to Beat Up Anybody. It's an instructional karate book where I teach you how to beat up Bigfoots and ninjas, and there's a flip book in the corner where I teach levitation, and you know, because of deforestation, Bigfoot attacks are on the rise nationwide.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
I've heard about
Bigfoots
that.
Live in the forest, and we're cutting the trees down, and they're fucking coming to the suburbs and inner cities for better food and shelter. So,
and so we have to protect
most
ourselves.
Bigfoots are very nice, but some are douchebags, just like in any society. So. So yeah, I teach a lot of important things in the book. So
and on Twitter, you're not Judah Freeland. You're world champ?
Judah World Champ, and I'm still waiting to be verified by Twitter. Yeah, I'm not verified yet. I don't know how you get verified.
I don't know how that process.
I don't
works
know
either.
Who the verifier is, but
I think
yeah,
you just have to mention it on the Nerdist podcast.
Yeah,
and it, oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, and it,
I've mentioned it on shows before, and we'll see if this one will.
Oh,
this
is
the
top,
this is the
man.
One that can do it. I think
this can do it, man. Can, I think Hardwick,
let's
you're the
it,
man
you guys.
To do
let's
this.
Make it. Let's verify Judah World
yeah.
Champ.
Judah World Champ on Twitter.
Judah
and I like
World
Twitter
champ.
A lot. Twitter's actually helped me a lot because sometimes. Like I said, like I might get really depressed if I can't go out and do stand up for whatever reason. So sometimes, you know, my mind will still be moving, and I'll just sit at home, and I'll just jokes will come into my head, and I'll just you know try them out on Twitter. And I don't have an audience to try them out, so I'll try them out on Twitter, and you get some responses, and it's fun. You know?
I can't
so
write
I like
jokes
Twitter.
On Twitter because my jokes aren't short, and so
right,
it's hard
right.
for me to
yeah,
it's
a short. It's a definitely a word economy, you know, one liner type stuff. But I enjoy it and. I've had a lot of fun at the con here. I got a great. My favorite photo I got so far was I got two stormtroopers reading my karate book. That's my favorite. I just posted that on Twitter. That's my favorite photo yet. So
people can get your book online. Are you gonna
yeah, book. Yeah, Amazon has it the cheapest. It's How to Beat Up Anybody. I did it all by myself. It's all based on my stand-up jokes, on my stand-up act, but it's all like 100% new jokes. I think there might be one or two sentences in here that are in my stand-up act. So I started it originally about 7-8 years ago on my own, and then book companies started calling me about 2 years ago only because I'm known from TV. They're like, hey, they think you can make money, so they want to do a book. And
sure.
I'm like, well, I've been working on a fucking book. And so...
it got really aggressive.
Yeah, so...
I've been working on
I'm like,
I got your goddamn fucking
I'm
book.
Like, I got two books I've been working on, and this is the one they wanted to do. So it was about a year and a half, you know, nonstop working on it. Did it all by myself, and all the photos, all the drawings, all the writings, and... yeah, so it was a big passion project, and it's selling so-so, but but people seem to like it, so I hope people do. I made it for people to laugh and enjoy, so hopefully they like it.
Cool.
So.
Thank you so much for being here. Judah Friedlander,
you so
everybody.
You're
thank
so
you,
nice.
Judah.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you were finally
thank you.
On.
Thank you.
Doug, do you have anything to promote before we ejector seat you and bring out the next
yeah,
guest?
Yeah, we got to make room. I Doug Loves Movies is ongoing. And
The Interruption.
Interruption. Yeah, I'm doing an interruption podcast. We're taping it at the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana on August 21st.
Excellent.
And yeah,
you should have us back on the podcast so I can't lose quite so bad as I did.
Yeah, yeah. You were terrible at the Leonard Mullen game, and your strategy was to let somebody guess it with all the names.
Well,
and
so, live and learn, right?
Yeah, yeah. You learned your lesson, and also we'll definitely have you back on. Everyone at this table has been a guest on Doug Loves Movies, except for Judah, and we're going to make that happen at some point.
Nice. The Benson Interruption TV show is on Instant Watch right now. Netflix Instant Watch.
Yeah, I don't think he gets any money from
it. It's on Netflix Instant Watch, and people keep writing to me going, "What? When was this on? Oof. Why is it not on anymore?" Like, and I'm just
like that's your decision.
Yeah, and also like because of people like you that missed it completely. that's why it's not a TV show anymore. But yeah, and I have a new CD coming out on August 30th called Potty Mouth, and it looks like all six episodes of the Benson Interruption will be included if you buy the hard copy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Doug, and I want to say just because I've been doing the interruption since you started, since we used to do it at M-Bar.
Yeah,
so it's
just
been really nice to kind of watch you build this thing, you know, of interruption and the movie show and now people come out to see you at shows and give you weed and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's been an incredible run. And
you had Lithgow on your podcast.
Thank you
to everyone.
If you're
ever in Los Angeles, Doug does this thing called the movie interruption, which is very similar.
Yeah, we got one coming up on Monday night, which might be too late for the listeners, but for those of you that are here, we're going to show Fast Five, and Brian Posehn and Sarah Silverman and Al Madrigal and I are going to sit with microphones and say whatever comes into our head while
cool.
watching
that's
it.
That's great.
Cool.
Yeah,
well,
it's a lot of fun.
Doug Benson, thank you for being
thank
here,
you.
Too. Doug Benson, Judah
thank
Friedlander.
You. I love you, Comic-Con.
Thanks, guys. We're going to make you stay here, Kev.
I stay?
You're going to stay. Let's
be around.
Thanks, Doug Benson.
Thanks,
nice to see you. Kev, let's move you down, and then maybe we need an extra chair for our next guest, who I'm super excited about, because I met these guys basically doing Wootstock, and they were, we sort of talked about this a little bit in the earlier show. Will Wheaton and I talked about this in the earlier show, but Mystery Science Theater was one of those shows that you tell me, that just changes the way you see comedy, and when you watch, you're like, oh my god, you can make comedy this way. And it just, every episode of that show just felt like someone was reaching inside and just and plucking out things that I knew and loved and were referencing it, and it absolutely thoroughly influenced me as a comedian. So it is a tremendous honor to welcome to the stage Michael Nelson, Kevin Murphy, and Bill Corbett.
Holy shit.
This is, I'll share
milk
something.
Milk it, because it won't last.
This is, and I can't, I mean, honestly, and I told you this backstage, and I hope I didn't embarrass him, but the Mystery Science Theater movie is Jonah's favorite movie of all time.
No, I know it's weird to have your favorite movie be a movie where guys are watching a movie.
That is weird, yeah.
But, you poor devil.
But I saw it in the theater. I was visiting my uncle and aunt in Carson City. I made them drive me to Reno, where it was playing at the Hilton. And I watched it because I was very excited for it. It never came to Hawaii, where I'm from. It never played in Hawaii. And then when it came out on VHS, I bought it, and I wore out the tape. And now I'm embarrassing myself.
But it is like
we said, like backstage. I watched it more than any other movie, and like it is. It's like if it's compared to the any episode that you guys ever did, it is one of the finest written episodes you ever did.
Thank you.
And the score is great, and it's just like it's a perfect episode. You know, it's up there with the best episodes you ever did.
Thank you.
And now me and my girlfriend fall asleep to it almost every night. Oh. There.
That's
how
slightly
uncomfortable
creepy.
Are you?
Wow. It is.
Oh, I think God. We just defined geek once again. Didn't
there
we?
It is.
Jonah is a full 3.5 inches right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at you and I think Wisconsin.
Yeah, I know, right?
Instead of, I don't know. That's why he got out.
The burly plaid guy. Yeah, I know.
Jonah had to escape Hawaii and getting beaten up by Samoan guys all the time.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't much take to my Servo Crow t-shirt that showcased my boobs and belly.
Boobs.
Which are very beautiful, by the way.
Thank you so much, Bill.
So talk a little bit about Mystery Science Theater. What was the process like for you guys when you're making the show? Obviously, when you took over the show, you knew that people knew about the show, but did you have any idea how huge it was at the time?
You're talking about the show.
Yeah, the television show. Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin, for that clarification. You're not talking about a cheesesteak now, right?
No, I heard how huge it was, and I just wanted to be clear.
Oh, Kevin.
Have a beer, Kevin.
Always.
I'm joking.
Honey,
we're not talking about a cheesesteak.
Heimlich maneuver.
No, it was...
I choked on my own nerd spit. I was laughing at cheesesteak so hard. I'm so sorry. That was one of those and then spit came out, and then it went right down my windpipe. Aww. Thank you. I'm not strong. I appreciate that. Oh my God. Okay, I'm
we
sorry.
We killed that would be the Hardwick kid. Tonight. That would have been the lamest
if that's
episode.
How I get to fucking die, then I say bring it on.
That would have been the shittiest rescue 911 in history right there, by the way. I laughed at my own joke so hard, I almost died, Shatner.
Michael Jane, they weaponize you. They weaponize your cheesesteak joke like the killing joke from the Python episode. Okay, I'm sorry. We're back to normal.
Okay, so I think I remember the question.
Yes.
Kevin, any clarifications on that?
No.
Keep drinking there. All right.
Oh, come on. I passed through Benson's backwash on the way here. That was going to keep me going, for crying out.
Contact high, for sure.
It was always weird. It was like when we started the show... You know, we'd go to this little bar and we'd have hamburgers and we would open up one piece of fan mail and it would be like, why are you talking over the movies? And we're like, all right, we're going to get her. We're going to get her someday. She's going to be a fan. And then, a couple weeks later, it'd be like two hate mails and one like, I get it, guys. And so it was always like a slow growth. So it was really, really fun to be part of that sort of slow growth. And then when I came on the show, the hate mail poured in.
I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't like you at first.
I know. It was just like, Bill, stop writing those. I mean, all right, I've got 100 from you.
Did the people writing the hate mail realize that you had been there all along? Or did they just think you were just a guy?
I mean,
like,
it says in the credits, head writer Michael J. Nelson.
Yeah, but a lot of people are idiots, Chris.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, no, they wanted to be personal. It was always like, I know you. I know where you live, and I will kill you for ruining my show.
Did they really like this? They say, why is the guy with the Torgo? Why is Torgo taking over the show?
Yeah, it was a little bit of that, but mostly it was comedians live on the edge of sort of being, they love the gallows humor, so all the hate mail was just pure honey for us. I want you to die slowly. It was like, this is the best letter ever.
So beautifully written.
Yeah, yeah. So it was always, that was fun. That was actually a fun part of it.
How would you pick the movie? Would you guys have a huge list of movies you could watch? Or would you guys just sort of someone from the office would say, hey, watch this. This is a piece of shit.
It was about a 20-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
20. We'd have to watch 20 movies in order to get to one. So,
wow.
Wow. Yeah,
there were about 3,000 movies that passed through the door. Honest to God. Passed through the doors of Best Brains in order for us to get those shows done. And Frank Conniff, God bless him, sort of became the forerunner for a lot of those. And he loved. I mean, the guy has, a brain that's just sort of skinned over so much he could watch these things and it wouldn't affect him.
he's pretty mellow though, and you're talking like, hey Frank, hey guys, how's it going?
Oh hey. Hi. That's actually a dead-on impression.
Yeah. Oh hey, what's happening?
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
Really mellow.
That's Frank. He is so mellow.
I hadn't seen Frank. I ran into him. It was 3 years. I hadn't seen him. He was in L.A., and I just happened to be walking down the street on Sunset Boulevard, and Frank is there with a paper bag with his pants sticking out of the bag, pant legs, and he's going to his personal trainer, and I see him, and I go, Frank? And he goes, oh, uh-huh.
Of course.
I asked. I'll
talk to you in a minute. And then he went on.
you know.
I asked him, I have a like a weekly comedy show, and I asked him to be on it. I was like, hey, would you want to do a set at my comedy show? He's like, yeah, if that's what you want.
Because, you know, that is what you asked. Yeah. Let me just put my pants in a paper bag and I'll get back to you.
So, Mr. Science Theater, did it... I'm a little unclear on the original origin, like the origin of the show. Was it just a local show in Minneapolis at first?
It was. It was on a UHF station, Channel 23 KTMA in Minneapolis.
And how did that happen?
I was working there. We were doing the commercials, and we were trying to do comedy. We found Jim Mallon and I.
Yep.
And we both worked at the station that had a production kit, and we could do our own stuff on our own time. The station manager didn't care. It was the lowest rated UHF station in the market. And so we started looking out in the community for comedians and people who had some ideas. And Joel had this sort of half-cocked idea about having, you know, this theater and puppets and a guy who was trapped in space watching movies. And said, well, you can make this into something. Mm-hmm. And we started making it and got some reaction and asked people to call in to see if they liked it or not, and the answer machine was full after the first episode. Same thing. Why are you talking over the movie? I like my monkey movies without anything. Somebody talking over. There's a deer thing there and some can. Stop talking over our movies.
Well, I like my monkey movies.
I love the idea of someone who has a real specific idea of their monkey movie.
My mother used to yell at me for watching your show. My mother would say, why are you watching that? They're talking over the fucking movie.
It really, I don't know if you guys, do you remember when Joel used to go on SNL? Like, I had seen him on SNL, and he would do, like, Agent J, and he would have these crazy contraptions. Did he design the bots?
He did.
Yeah.
He and Trace, actually. And they were pretty much, it was dumpster diving, honest to God. Go to the St. Vincent de Paul. Go to any place that's old, scrap anything.
The old gumball machine factory.
Bring a pile of stuff in and glue it together with hot glue and screws. And that was simply it. It was that simple.
Yeah.
And he actually made the puppets at 3 o'clock in the morning the morning before the first show.
Really?
Yep.
Trace. But you guys both just use your regular voices.
Close. Yeah, something sort of exaggerated from her.
I mean, Trace is a little higher, you know, but how do you, do people freak out when you open your mouth and they go, hey, I know that voice?
I do, but
every time I call him, every time I call Bill, he says, wait a minute, I know you!
Because I have a picture where I'm making out with a servo bot, and I told you I was going to tweet it and apologize to you, like, I'm sorry, we had this one night together, because someone made a completely 100% accurate Tom Servo bot.
Isn't that wild?
Anatomically correct.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Chris bought it and installed a fleshlight, which was really that.
Tom is hung
that's
like a
weird,
Hebrew
right?
national.
No, it was
that's
a little weird.
Weird.
It was
that's
a little
not
weird
to have a fleshlight and a Tom Servo bot or a Miss Piggy doll or what have you. I mean, I don't know. I'm just grasping at straws. How long did it take to do each movie? What was the writing process?
Stem to stern, I think like 9 days, right? Between reviewing, going through the movie a few times and, you know, kind of revising
it. It was just sort of endless, you know, over and over and over again watching these things. And, you know, it helped that it was a writing room. And, you know, writing rooms, they're like, you know, 5 minutes into it, you're talking about something else and you're eating donuts and throwing stuff in.
Yeah, how many pounds of weed on average were consumed in these writer rooms?
Yeah, exactly. It was, you know, it was insane.
That wasn't a number, by the way. How many bags of weed?
Exactly.
I'm curious. Yeah, I mean,
no.
I got to know what was going on in those writer rooms because I could only watch those movies once with you guys being hilarious. I couldn't imagine watching them 20 times in a row.
You have to be incredibly lucid because I know a bunch of people who've done riff tracks, like guest riff tracks, and it is a thoroughly grueling process of watching a couple seconds and then backing up and adding a joke. I mean, like they're so dense with jokes.
Yeah. It's an act of endurance as much as anything else. I mean. You know, with riff tracks, we just sort of go exactly what you said. And we kind of did this in the Mystery Science Theater writing room. I mean, we would just stop the movie every 5 to 10 seconds or so, and some poor bastard would be, you know, recording all our Tourette syndrome bit by bit. But, yeah.
Think of doing that with high school music.
It's a hard slog.
Oh, I mean, dear God.
You did a riff track for high school musical?
Oh my gosh.
That's what it felt like.
You just drew blood, dude.
I do have grid marks, but I. Oh, oh my yeah. God. Oh,
first well, blood. Yes.
Wait. It is. Not only did you draw blood, there's like a mesh thing on your head from the microphone.
Dear God.
Yeah. No, don't. Let's not.
It's a mesh room, Tad. It
we
happens.
Have a bleeder. Hey, Matt, will you go get him a
yeah,
towel
we could, okay.
to mop up the.
I'm okay.
You are true circus, dude.
This is like Jim Rose shit. This man will beat himself to death with a microphone.
I saw Adam Savage go on stage and do a whole set with a paper towel shoved up his nose.
Oh, he had a bloody nose. Yeah. Yeah.
Bloody nose.
Yeah. And later on, we're going to auction off your bloody towel.
You could get an NEA grant for that, man.
That's how much you hate High School Musical.
It is.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And yet when I hit you in the head and draw blood, it's a big deal.
Good. You're no Zac Efron,
double
sir.
Standard,
I'm sorry.
Man.
Next podcast, the guy's like, why is there a piece of meat on my microphone?
This looks like head meat.
Just
Kevin's head meat is on the microphone.
Some big Irish goon hit himself in the head with a.
It's like this jerky on my microphone.
Kevin's head meat is my Flogging Molly cover band.
Well
thank
done.
You very much. Hey, you know, Paul and Storm are in here, and we owe them for that kind of bullshit that we do every now and again.
The Paul and the Storm, who are phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, I love... We did Bootstock together the other night, and what a great show that is.
Yeah, that was great.
So much fun. Did any of you guys get to go to the Bootstock show?
Wasn't it great, except for Paul and Storm? Who let them on the show?
I don't know.
Real... Not enough head meat for me.
You're welcome!
You don't know, like, those guys do so much work. Paul was not only performing on the show, he was also running the laptop that
yes.
had
yeah.
all the PowerPoint stuff on it.
Sewing costumes backstage.
Tuck pointing the chimney outside. I mean, it's just, like, really,
I mean
wow.
they're musicians, but really, Paul wants to run an AV room.
Yes.
It's right, Paul?
Are Paul and Storm here?
They are.
Do you guys want to come up and chat with us for a minute?
Is this your Paul and Storm?
Paul and Storm, get up here and chat with us.
You can sit on my lap and share my microphone.
Come on up.
And feel free to hit Kevin in the head with a microphone at
yes.
any moment.
We know he's very soft.
There's a...
Did you knock something over, Storm?
Stairs.
They're coming a long way.
Oh, you lost your badge? Did you lose your... Oh, my God.
Sorry, you have your wristband, sir. You have to leave the building.
Don't tell people that. Then someone's going to... Oh, okay. You got your badge back. There we go.
Storm still not made it up here yet? I win.
He lost his card. Come around the side here.
Going up Hamburger Hill here.
Come on up. Storm and Paul. Hey, Paul. How are you?
Hey, Paul.
Nice to see you. Nice to see you. Come on. There goes Jonah. You're going to get him more chairs. It's going to be...
That's way more hugging than I'm comfortable.
Yeah,
with
100% more.
Tone it
so how did they get you guys involved with Woodstock?
How did we meet you guys?
I think we stalked you
through
on...
Through Jonathan Colton.
Probably, yeah, like all things.
Joko! Is he here? He's not here this
no,
year.
No, he's not here. Fuck that guy.
He's right under here!
Yeah, I think you came to a show we did with Jonathan.
I did.
Colton.
I came to a Joko show in Minneapolis, and then what did I tweeted that I liked it, except for the opening act.
Yeah, and then we just glommed onto you like the users that we are.
I feel spent.
I did not. You said I met you guys at New York Comic Con a few years ago.
Oh Jesus, don't make
me. That's a good story.
It was a shitty story, and I told it on the podcast.
Yeah,
already.
It was great. It got a great response from us.
No, we back before we were as ridiculously famous as we are.
Yeah, sure.
We were going to New York Comic Con, and you guys, Hard and Firm, had their Comedy Central special, and we were all jealous and watching it. Like, well, I was all jealous. I absolve Storm of this story.
I thought it was fantastic.
Thank you. But you know, just in that professional jealousy, hey, that's great. They did that, and I hope they fuck it up.
Yeah.
Wow. Secrets are coming out tonight.
And, I already knew this.
No, and we came to New York Comic Con, and for some reason we thought it would be cool to just sort of film ourselves wandering around and put it up on YouTube, and somehow approached you filming it, and I was telling the story about as well as I'm telling it right now. I was like, hey, you don't know who we are. Why am I being so confrontational with you on film?
But then the fun thing was, a couple years later, you know, when we all jumped on Twitter, people started saying, you've got to see Paul and Storm, you've got to see Paul and Storm, and then they created this weird rivalry where we started...
Oh, yeah, that wonderful fake rivalry
this,
we had.
This, like, tweet war against each other where we kept photoshopping pictures, and I took your logo with the two of you silhouetted, and I put vaginas on them,
And you didn't.
You tweeted stuff back, and you know, Mike and I were like, holy shit, these dudes are really funny. And I think Mike saw you first, and he said, these guys are fucking awesome. So it's nice. I'm so glad that you have built this, you know, this whole thing with Wootstock. There were like 1,100 people at that show the other night at the Balboa Theater that stayed for 4 hours.
Barring the doors helps.
Yeah. 20 of those people actually paid to come in, too.
That was all comps. 1,000 comps. So is it like what was it? Was it like, because you are, you know, like we all are, like young nerdy guys, and now you get to, you know, you're working with like the Riff Trax guys, and you know, like how has it been for you nerding out over people?
Oh, I get to answer
again? Don't be that honest, please.
You're the star fucker, so you
I
get
am.
To answer
I'm
this one.
I'm really a professional star fucker, and somehow I've ended up on this stage at this.
But you are such a good lover.
Well,
so gentle.
Tender, I am
you don't
tender.
Just fuck skilled. Those stars.
I read a lot of books. No, it's just it's incredible. Well, first of all, you have to sort of play it cool. Like that's one thing we learned. Like the first thing you try not to do is completely geek out at a person. Is the second you meet
blew
them.
It, then
yeah,
I blew it.
Jonah blew it already. Yeah.
But like, amazingly enough, these are all regular human beings.
Yeah.
Even Kevin,
who bleeds. Clearly. You,
does he not bleed?
If you hit him in the head with a microphone, does he not bleed?
That's his one.
Then we can kill him.
Let's test that again, shall we?
Impervious to all things but microphone mesh.
This is wicked stuff here.
It is.
What did you expect? Usually when I hit myself in the head with a microphone, it doesn't really get through the skin.
Hey, I'm a method actor, okay?
The podcast where there was a bandsaw on stage, Kevin like sawed his own foot off.
Yeah.
Kevin, what the hell are you doing?
Took a lathe to his penis. Just...
Really,
it's nice
Bill.
Now. It's
just
cr-
to
it's
make
cremulated.
A point.
It's really nice. It,
and then he
you know,
then he etched,
narrows and then it fattens out a little.
It's
bit.
Like a baby carrot.
And then he etched a little lightning bolt and calls it Wonder Boy now.
It looks like one of those Mexican onyx chest bishops. You know.
Yes.
Where do you were there were there were the like what kind of were there jokes that you never were able to make work on the show that you're like, God, we really want this like what are, there must be a bin of jokes that never were.
What do you think, Mike?
Well, it was, you know, we had a big writing room. We had a lot of guys in there, and you would realize you'd stop the film at some funny moment where there was a frame where someone was like, you know, with their finger up their nose, and then there was like 27 minutes of comedians going, that guy's got his finger up his nose, and then 10 minutes
yeah,
later
just,
you
just
were...
golden material, one after another.
10 minutes later, you had an elaborate skit about his grandmother dying at a funeral while he was picking his nose, and then you hit play, and it's like it jumped
oh,
to another
it went
scene
right off it. It's a moving target. That's what we learned again and again, is you can't just riff on a still picture. It has to
bullet
kind of
time does not work with what we do. You
no.
just can't stop and make 11,000 jokes on one funny frame.
You would get
frame.
That script and you'd be like, there's 11 minutes of yes. this elaborate sketch that involves like people flying to Duluth to, you know, meet this... What the hell are you talking about? You know, it had nothing. So, you know, there was a downside to having a writing room. And I think that was the funny thing. You just read this stuff going, we can never use this. It's hilarious, but it has nothing to do with this film.
And we got some great notes over the years from the networks. And I wish I had all those notes because the notes were just ridiculous. We, you know, just the word dick somehow set off USA Network at that time. It was like, honest to God, unusable.
Really?
Yes.
Because was that hard once you...
It was a different era.
It was.
It really kind of
was.
It was
just before
10 years ago.
South Park, you know, when all bets were off. But
right.
For our show, it was...
Yeah.
In the movie, though, you guys, you said shit. Was that like a big liberation for you when you got to use that word?
I think it was pandering, really.
It wasn't? Just because it... Just, was it like a...
Because it was PG-13 and we could pander. So.
Yeah, you could say shit 3 times. Or
That would get the kids into the theater.
Just like you could see Bart's balls in the Simpsons movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, we got to show Bart's balls and then Marge has to say, God damn it, and then that'll get us our rating. Yeah.
How long was the... Like, how long did it take you to come up with the Riff Trax idea after MST was done? Like, Were you trying to come up with ways to do riff tracks before the idea came around?
Well, yeah, we were working together on a couple of things. We did a website for a while, and we actually had a short-lived project with Shout Factory called the Film Crew.
Yeah, yeah.
And then something happened with the...
Those are available on DVD. Those are really good. They did Hollywood After Dark. The Wild Women of...
Starring Wongo. A young Rue McClanahan.
Rue McClanahan, yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Rue McClanahan shaking her potatoes.
Shaking her tatas.
But we had thought for a long time, how could we possibly do this in a way that we can get newer films? And this is the whole thing, you know, because we had done a couple of shows, just specials for Comedy Central that were us riffing on... The press kits for, we did an Oscar special.
Oscar nominated, and like Hollywood blockbusters.
And that's where the joke that Bill wrote that I still love him for, where we're looking at the Titanic trailer, and the captain's on the prow of the ship as it's just taking off, and they show the proud captain.
The very beginning.
The comment is,
I'm going to sink this bitch.
Got ahead of the plot a little bit. But.
And the thought was, we would really love to do this with current films, but how can we possibly do it? Because you can't license these films. So the idea of doing a podcast style commentary that you can download on MP3 and play in sync with the film was really the genesis of this whole thing.
Can someone buy can you buy like an outline of you guys and the bots and put it on your TV?
Actually, we used to put that in the in the fan club kit. There was a cutout that you'd, you know, just paste onto your screen, but I know it's still available online as a JPEG.
How many movies have you guys done on Riff Tracks now?
Oh, God. Yeah, we're at 150 movies and like...
How many shorts?
Several hundred shorts.
Yeah.
How long does it take to get through, you know, like to the recording process?
The recording process is surprisingly fast because we spent many days on writing the thing and then rehearsing it and then the recording process.
And we do it a little differently than we used to. We actually split the movie into, well, now five parts because we have two young writers and just kind of slog through it individually, and then we all convene together and, you know, make it more of a writing room. It's kind of more efficient. It's a little less fun sometimes, but...
Yeah. It's brutal sometimes.
What are some sort of standout movies that you guys really...
Oh, you know, I think the first time I saw... The first Twilight film, I thought, dear God, we must. We must. And I lobbied for it. I was a cheerleader for the first time I saw it. I actually went to the theater.
You were Team Edward, let's face it.
I was Team Mustache Dad. I've always been and always will be Team Mustache Dad. Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm a big Karate Kid 3 fan.
Oh, yes. I
that
love that
one.
One
of the best movies that we've ever done.
That's the one where the sensei gets that guy to turn Daniel on. Yeah.
It is the most Byzantine plot in the world. It's like 17 layers of conspiracy have to come together to make this teenager pay for winning a tournament.
And I love the fact that his love interest just moves away in the middle of the film.
Yeah, it is.
I'm moving to another city. Goodbye.
Yeah. That's weird.
It's really weird.
It's such a bummer because that first movie, it's like that's such a Hollywood thing. That first movie was I still love the first movie unironically.
It's nice. Yeah.
It's got a nice message. It's a great, you know, it's like simple plot. I get it. Two, all right. Little, you know, like could Daniel-san really go to Okinawa and beat the shit out of a guy who has devoted his entire fucking life to karate
with a
drum?
Right.
So, you know, okay, but then three, it just gets silly. And then the Hilary Swank one, have you guys done the next Karate Kid?
We have not seen that.
Oh, that would be nice.
That would be really nice.
Yes, it would.
We've often talked about like trying to pitch you guys. We would love to do a Riff Tracks at some point.
And we would love to
do a Riff Tracks. Have you guys done Teen Wolf yet?
We have not.
That's what we were thinking about doing, Teen Wolf. If like the three of us at Teen Wolf,
yeah. Wow. We're thinking about doing Teen Wolf.
So what is it about?
What's
we gotta get you
about?
A microphone. Come
What's
on.
What's that one about?
Share my microphone.
Yeah, Pereira, come up here. So you're not in the back.
Come sit on my lap, young man.
Feel free to hit him in the head with the microphone.
What is it about Teen Wolf?
What isn't it about Teen Wolf?
No, what is it about Teen Wolf?
No.
This is not a philosophy class.
Teen Wolf is so at the same time enjoyable as it is terrible. And Michael J. Fox, and the father, just the fact that the father's a werewolf too.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry, you guys.
Thanks a lot, man.
What the hell? No.
Now you know about the Howard curse. Usually it skips a generation, but not this time.
And thank God he's so good at basketball. And they use the same shots.
Yeah. I don't remember. Is it a comedy? Is it trying to be funny?
Yeah. It's not a drama. It's confusing because MTV is doing Teen Wolf. That it is not a comedy at all. It's a Twilight kind of a thing.
Oh, it's true, what a surprise.
True fur. True fur, you call it.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a weird thing that happens in Teen Wolf near the end. When he makes the free throw shot and then wins the basketball match to, you know, spoiler somehow... Alert.
You're
somehow saved the day.
You just fucked it up for us.
Oh, right. No.
Sorry.
Don't worry.
Wow.
Don't worry. It's the meat of the movie that you really want to go for. but there's a guy in the stands that stands up and his pants are undone and it looks like he has an erection.
Wow.
Look for it next time you watch Teen Wolf.
Did he really take his dick out or is it just...
No, it's just kind of open. Like his pants are just open.
So,
look for it. It's in the end. It's in the end, slow motion.
What was Congressman Wiener doing?
Ba-boom. Thank you.
He was a
child
actor.
We should have seen it coming.
Oh, wait. Literally? Or?
Yeah.
That's like the kid at the end of, was it Back to the Future 3? You guys seen that clip of like the young kid on the train?
That kid's creepy.
What is going on in that? Have you seen that?
He's rubbing his junk.
He's basically Yahtzeeing the camera as it goes away, but he's like a 9-year-old boy.
Are you serious?
He was wearing...
You can YouTube this.
Well, it was wool. It was a wool blend that he was wearing.
Oh, my God.
It was itchy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You guys need a whole evening of movies that end with boners.
We're going to start Boner Tracks, which is a site where we just...
Tracks.
Teen Wolf and Back to the Future 2. Those are the two movies that we would like to do for you guys. Yeah. So Back to the Future 2 has so many great moments of awesomeness. A.K.A. exposition.
I'm sorry. That's all that whole movie is just trying to back explain everything so they can set up the third movie. And it's just like, even as much as I love Back to the Future, when they go to Biff's casino and the whole exposition is like, find out how Biff made all of his money. And here's 9 other things you need to know to move the plot forward.
Well, we noticed today because
rehydrate level 3.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have pizza.
No. It's
you can hydrate a pizza, Kevin.
Yeah.
So good.
We were looking at the real props today. They have the newspapers. Doc Brown commended. Doc Brown committed.
Yes.
And in the Doc Brown commended, the great headline next to it is, Reagan seeks second term. No opposition.
Wow.
Just that changing that thing in time still would have made Doc Brown on the fucking cover of that newspaper. Like, that made me so mad. That made me so fucking mad.
Didn't quite work for you.
No, it didn't work. That's okay. So, I don't know, Teen Wolf or Back to the Future 2, one of those two. If you guys are up for it, we'd love to do it. Have you guys done one, Paul and Storm?
We did Tron a few years back.
with Mr. Jonathan Coulton.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
That shit was hard, I got to tell you. These guys, like... We've heard a lot of the iRiffs and people just on YouTube doing their own version of this. It is not easy to do what these three guys do. I lost 4 pounds of sweat during our recording.
Well, you know, when you think about it, like a stand-up comedy set, a headlining set is an hour. But you guys are doing an hour and a half, 2 hours of jokes every 5 to 10 seconds. So how many jokes would you say like fill up a riff track?
I think when we did, what's our longest? One of the, you
like
know,
one of the Lord of the Rings films?
Titanic? Return of the King?
Yeah, I think you're talking about 1,300 jokes or something like that. Yeah, so,
that's
I mean,
insane.
It's
all artisanally crafted.
Yes. Freshly baked.
Man-made. What is it about Minneapolis that's so, like, Minneapolis has an amazing artist community. There's a lot of great comedians. Like, one of the best comedy clubs in the country, Acme, is in Minneapolis.
Acme is great, yeah.
Because from November until April, there is nothing to do.
Except right. Survive.
You go there in the summer or the fall, and you go, why? The architecture is beautiful. People are nice. They go see theater. There's a real community. Why doesn't everyone just live here? And then you forget.
Because people die in February. They die.
Because you wind up eating your own family in the middle of January just to get by.
Let's fry up a little more Michael fat.
You guys, do you have the Dutch influence up there as well, or is that only in Wisconsin?
It's more Scandinavian than Dutch.
A little bit of German. Yeah, Scandinavian.
Do you guys have the Pannekoeken up there?
We do, yes.
Pannekoeken!
This is so foreign to everybody in this room,
crazy
isn't it?
Dutch pancakes that they fill them with shit. So it's like, imagine a fat crepe. Like, that's basically what a pancake with stuff.
Precisely. Wait, it's got a selling point that you haven't told him about. It takes an hour and a half to bake that piece of shit. Like,
And there,
where the fuck is my pancake? And then like this woman comes out with a little folded hat and goes, "Pannekuchen." It's like, I'm not even hungry now. Just give me the goddamn.
My stomach
bacon.
Ate itself.
He doesn't get this angry about anything.
Yeah. Your honest hot button God. Word.
Yeah.
Your hot
slowly
button.
I turn.
You guys backstage, and Mike's like, I hope he doesn't fucking bring up pannekuchen because I will fucking snap. I can't take it anymore.
And then this bitch in wooden God. Shoes and a blue dress takes forever to bring out my pancake.
My boysenberry syrup was cold.
I will gut him like a fish if he brings up Dutch pancake.
And they really are terrible.
Yes.
They really
they're
are.
Very bad.
They're very bad for you, pannekoke.
They are rage-inducing, yes.
Yeah.
It's a crepe with a goiter, and it's just not that good.
And it's like $17.
All yeah.
Right, look, I'll stop. All right.
Okay. I think we've taken down pannekoeken tonight.
Yeah. Now it's time for croissants.
Funnel cakes.
They went that podcast.
Don't you fuck with my funnel cakes,
Chris.
Man.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to fuck with funnel cakes, you guys. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to fuck with funnel cakes. Where do you guys live now?
I'm here in San Diego.
You are here in San Diego.
Yes.
Nice.
It was as far away from pannekoekens as I could get
without living in the ocean.
Down, boy. Hit yourself in the head with a microphone. It'll calm you down. And we both live in Minneapolis.
Oh, you do live in Minneapolis. Yeah.
Idiots that we are.
How do you do it? How do you do it in the winters?
It steals you, my friend.
Increasingly tough, I gotta
That's
say.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's about once a day, Bill and I call each other and say, winter is coming.
We must prepare.
Sadly, always true there.
Well, I wanted to see if did anyone in the audience have questions for these guys while we have them up here? Anyone for anyone on the panel? Yes, young lady. Step forward and be heard.
We will answer your question turgidly, dryly, and without a hint of humor.
What is your name?
Aaliyah.
Hi, what's your question?
Sorry, guys. Actually, I have a question for Kevin.
Oh, wow. Damn.
The answer is yes.
You're from Pannekoeken, aren't you?
You Dutch pancake bitch.
Wait, did you mean Murphy or Pereira? Oh, okay. You can go. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Thank you.
Sod off, old guy.
I have no idea how to please you, so...
Although I will say that Mystery Science Theater, I was a huge fan when I was
too late.
A little
Sorry.
Kid. Uh-huh.
Was... Was.
You had your moment.
Bring me an apple pen.
I loved mystery sci-fi theme thing that you did.
Okay, no, question for
really,
other Kevin.
Fine. Kevin, I was wondering if you would do your rap for us.
The rap? Wait, the rap?
At the panel today?
I wrote Candace Bailey ad-libbed a line called Glitter on My Camel Toe. It's not nearly as brilliant as Mystery Science Theater, I assure you.
How does that come up in conversation?
Well, she had a camel toe, she spilled glitter on it, and
right,
saw
well,
there's more.
Problem
solved. It's pretty that easy. But so I wrote a rap about it that was way too hot for TV.
Attack of the Show, too hot for
TV. Hey, watch out, kids.
Same channel as Cops.
What was the lyric that I said today in the panel? I think it involved. It was no one's ever referred to the glittery camel toe as a sweaty beef canyon.
Right.
But the rap did involve that lyric. But one of them was, "I'll spread your legs just like butter. Now your pussy's toast." And it was one of those lines.
You did that at the Attack of the Show panel?
No, I didn't, because there was a reminder that like there are children under 18 years of age there, which really makes me question all the parents in the crowd of our panel who let their 12-year-old kids watch me say dick jokes every day live.
Mommy, I want
to hear about toast pussy.
No, I'm holding it. It's not.
You gotta cup it at the base.
Thank you. I'm trying. Hold the. Is it? Now, is this not working either? Okay, this one's working.
All right. That was one of the lyrics though. It was spread your legs just like butter. Now your pussy's toast. That's the lyric that I want to use. And I'm surprised Kanye hasn't used that yet. I'm really shocked. It sounds up his
Kevin,
alley.
Kevin, work marmalade in there, and I think you'll have it.
Marmalade. Got it.
Pannekuchi. Come on, you guys.
Oh,
it's right
hello.
Fucking there. All right. Did that suitably answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, Aaliyah.
Thank you.
Adorable.
Hey.
I have
Girl
a question.
Girl who hates us.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. No, sorry, this doesn't work sometimes.
Yeah.
Each of you, do you each have a favorite episode of Mystery Science Theater?
Yes.
And what might that be?
We hold it
Phenomenal.
Deep in
Next
our
question.
Hearts, and we never tell anyone.
I was implicit in the question, wasn't it? I liked Merlin's Shop of Mystical Wonders.
Yes.
Because it was, what's his, Ernest Borgnine,
yes.
Pre, yeah. Well, who knows whether it was pre-masturbation days or not.
I think it was concurrent.
I assume that was his best, that was his best work, actually. But weird, weird movie with him telling the story to a little kid, and he was really large, and one of the jokes was like, is he smuggling a sea turtle under his sweater?
Yeah. He's really like,
I saw it with my kids, and I was like, that was funny. I don't remember doing this, but that was funny. So, yeah.
I greatly enjoyed an episode called Space Mutiny.
Yeah.
which this is just like too easy for us, but there was one scene where a woman who had been killed in a previous scene just reappeared working at her desk. It's like, what do you know? There she is.
Boy, I don't know. I love the stupid Japanese science fiction films who did like the Gamera films. Mm-hmm. But
Gamera is really neat. He is full of turtle meat.
Love Gamera. Yes, indeed. We did our own songs.
Yes.
Just like that. Yeah.
I actually, Mike did the most wonderful Michael
Feinstein
imitation on one of those and played it very tenderly on the piano and did sort of a Cole Porter arrangement of that. Camera is
kids really love the Michael Feinstein Cole Porter.
He is filled with
smacking your demographic.
Did you guys? I mean, it's like you can't even walk 3 feet without seeing someone in a Feinstein cosplay. It's
absolutely.
Like, it's like, guys, Feinstein Con is next weekend. Yep. Like, let's fucking save it. Yeah, the kids
walk
love
down the street, you know, at Comic Con, it's just like I'm lifted on
Feinstein
the shoulders.
Feinstein cosplay is huge.
Furry piles to it, long last love, you know.
Not to be confused with Marvin Hamlish Con, which is. These references are sailing over
everyone. Hamlin piles.
They are flying like Gamera.
We were born in the Truman administration.
Everyone loves your meat ration jokes.
I tell you that WPA.
What is you have a question, sir? What's your name?
Ryan.
Ryan, what's your question?
What movie are you guys looking forward to that's coming out this summer or coming out in the future holiday season?
Not a single goddamn one.
That is a bitter man talking.
That's a really
good looking
answer.
Forward to, getting our hands on Thor, I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice pompous Anthony Hopkins. Yum.
Well, you're talking about to riff?
Yes.
Oh, all
That's
of them.
That's what we do, goddammit.
Yeah. How do you...
That just occurred to Kevin.
Oh
that's right. We can... We
the
can
business riff. I'm in.
Is there
we can capitalize on this crap.
Because I just rant. I rage at everything. And so they just pick this up and pay
you're
me money for it.
You're still smarting over Panikkuken, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I am.
What beer are you looking forward to?
Not a goddamn one. They all taste like piss.
Wait, you can drink them. Oh, well, then I...
Everyone, yeah.
I guess.
Is there an unriffable movie where you're like, yeah, we just this one we just
you
can't...
know, Schindler's List.
Yeah.
Hotel Rwanda.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess you couldn't do those.
The Day the Clown Cried.
Yeah.
Are you guys ever going to do Bad Lieutenant with Nicolas Cage?
Port of Call, New
Port
Orleans.
Of Call. Wait. Yes. Port of Call, New Orleans, you mean?
Bad Lieutenant.
That's a whole different.
But no, sorry. Bad Lieutenant.
That's a whole different Bad Lieutenant.
Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny. It's a little bit rapey for our taste.
Well, that's funny because I'm going to start Rape Tracks, which is a... so it will fit it nicely in there.
It's just me saying no.
Rape Tracks, Boner Tracks, franchises are being born tonight.
The Panikkuken Tracks.
The happy family of Tracks films. Did that answer your question at all?
Yes. Episode of your Rape Tracks will be Sorry Matt again.
Hey, nice, nice. Yeah, we did Sorry Matt.
I like
but
the cut of your
well
jib,
done.
Young man. Would you like a job?
when you guys go see a movie, do people turn and be like, are you guys going to do it during this movie? Like when you go to the theater, do they know?
They don't know who we are.
They don't?
It's really nice not to be recognized.
I know.
Except
I know.
Except when you show up with the servo puppet.
That's, well...
they see this bit of wrist right here.
And yeah.
That's what's recognized. It's 2 inches of wrist when I got the puppet up too far on the table.
Oh, that's it, at the muscle.
That's Kevin Murphy here.
Yeah, that's Kevin Murphy's wrist.
What was that gesture there?
Thank God this is a podcast.
I was raising the roof, Michael.
No, if that were the case, they would think you were Paul Rubens.
What's your name?
My name's Frank.
What's your question?
So when I was a kid, I must have seen your guys' parts, The Clonus Horror, about 17, 18 times.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I went to the movies to see Michael Bay's The Island, and it was parts The Fucking Clonus Horror.
It's the same film. Yes,
I want to know if you had seen it and if you would consider riffing it.
Interesting.
Oh.
Have you seen it, Kevin?
I have seen the Michael Bay version of this, which he categorically denied having stolen, even though he obviously did.
Wasn't there a lawsuit or something?
There was, but it was dismissed. It was, you know.
Ting. Was it sponsored by MSN?
Probably.
Every frame of that movie was sold out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And no, because the other one was better, a better film. So it's, but it is riffable, but. There are like 6 copies of it out there in the entire world, so it wouldn't be very helpful for us.
All right, thanks. Sure. Any other questions? Can I don't know if you care, but I think one of my favorite MST jokes is that
we do care.
Okay, good. With the lemur, was that Dinosaur Island?
Joey the lemur.
It was there was a lemur, and it was just the lemur jokes. And in the end, they blow up the island, and there's just a shot of the lemur, and someone goes, "Thanks for annihilating everything I know." That fucking joke ruined me. So funny.
Oh, thank you.
Any other? Yes, this gentleman back here.
Please step forward to the tribunal and be heard.
But take your time.
I don't know if mine's really a question so much as just a fond memory of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Obviously there was so much great movies from Japan that you could rip off of. One of my favorite personal moments just had to be 3 children hanging from a bridge, hiding, and somebody says during the thing, "If I could just reach my utility belt." Like I said, it's not a question. I just love that moment. It just hit me like it was a nice chord.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, well, I don't know if you. There's not really a response to this, but you know, just like I said in the intro, you guys totally changed the way that so much of us see comedy. Like, you influence. Like, we're so influenced by Mystery Science Theater. I mean, you guys and Riff Tracks too. I mean, you must have a sense, right?
We're really sorry. All we were trying to do was make a buck. We didn't mean to fuck anybody up here.
And yet we failed.
And yet we didn't do that somehow.
How the hell did that work?
It's all come to naught.
There was one more question back. Yeah, yes, you, sir. Run forward. Come on down. You're the next guy. All right, this bit's done.
All right. Hi, Kiba, to you all, first and foremost.
And hi, Kiba, to you.
I'm a big fan of all the live shows you've done in theater, but I've noticed you've always done them, I think it's out of Tennessee.
Yeah, we do them in Nashville, mostly because the production company we work with is there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that answers the question, but would you ever consider doing one in L.A. or somewhere else around that wasn't Tennessee?
Yeah, we work with San Francisco Sketch Fest every now and then to do a live show. In fact, Chris is going to be our guest there next month.
Yes, it's true. Yeah, in San Francisco.
Along with Adam Savage and Bob Odenkirk.
So yes.
We're very happy about that.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Oh, and... who else? I'm missing some. Andy Richter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That is it.
And Cole Stratton and Jennifer.
I better brush up on my fucking joke writing with that group.
But the show you're talking about we're doing on August 17th, this is a plug, live, Riff Tracks Live, 500 theaters across the country.
Yeah.
We have done it before in San Diego. We can do it in a lot of places, but since the production company we work with is in Nashville, and we do it at the Belcourt Theater, which is a great theater, and it shows all over the country, it just works out fine for us there.
Kevin salutes you for your service, by the way.
I can't see a damn thing is what it is.
Well, because the blood trickling out of your head is blinding you.
I'm blinded by my own blood.
It's like meat flakes hanging from the
eye. Meat flakes. And the movie we're doing next month that's going to be in the theaters is Jack the Giant Killer. It's a 60s claymation epic. Sword and sandal.
A giant does die. Sorry to spoil it.
Spoiler alert.
You can kill those?
It is not Andre the Giant, though. Do not.
Anybody want a peanut?
Yes, madam.
Come forward. This will probably be the last question.
Come to the altar of Hardwick.
Yes.
Let's look into the eyes of the dragon in despair.
Just something I've always wanted to know. When you do watch movies with your family, are they incredibly bored, or, I mean, are they just endlessly entertained?
Are they bored being with us?
So do your families hate you for being you, I think is really the question.
Yes.
My family loathes me. It's just...
Can you blame them? Well, when we watch, you mean when we watch movies, do we do our riffing, you know, just sort of, no, not really.
I try not to riff at home. I'd get kicked out.
Although every now and then I get into a sort of a wise-ass mode. My wife once told me, honey, will you stop riffing breakfast, for Christ's sake? Turn off, you're off duty, man.
Oh, pop pan of coke in, hey.
You started making this 3 hours
soggy
ago.
Soggy toast.
Pussy toast. Kevin Pereira.
It all comes together.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you, madam. So, guys, we're almost at the end of the show. First of all, thank you for coming out tonight.
Yes.
You guys.
Thank you.
Coming out of the late show.
Thank you for staying awake.
I know it's late.
I know it's late. I know you're weary. I know your plans.
I want to introduce a very special guest who's a surprise guest. So if you'll direct your attention over to there, you will see my best friend in the world, Mike Furman.
Yay! Hooray!
He might be eating pizza.
There he is. Mike, do you need a mic? Do you need a mic?
Okay.
Mike Furman is the most likable person in the world, by the way.
We have time for a cup. Do you want to do the... do you want to do the... Can we do the Lincoln song?
Sure, we can if you like, sure.
You want to?
Sure.
All right. This is sort of... Oh, that's going to be loud going into your guitar. Yeah. Mike and I are doing an animated series for IFC called Hard and Firm's Musical Time Hole. And it's basically a sort of a Sherman and Mr. Peabody. We go back in time and help historical figures solve crises through the power of song. In the first episode, we go back...
As people do,
as you would. And in the first episode, by the way, the time hole looks like a floating asshole. So, and we had like rounds of notes with the network and the artists based out of Minneapolis, by the way, where we were like, it looks, the time hole looks too much like a hibiscus. Can you give it a little bit of meat and like a balloon knot? Like we really had these notes back and forth. But suffice it to say that we came up with the perfect floating asshole, which is the time hole. And in the first episode, we go back and we turn up in the Oval Office with Abraham Lincoln and inadvertently, because he was superstitious, convince him to not sign the Emancipation Proclamation. So we have to spend the episode convincing him that he has to sign it. It's what? What? You mean like because I'm explaining it too much right now? Fuck yourself in the face.
What is it? Oh, that's the... Forget it.
Well, that was like that. That's like that old Billy Crystal mic joke, but for reals.
That's awesome.
Forget it.
That was brilliant.
Take like a knee.
It's like the microphone knew that joke wasn't going to be funny enough.
Oh, shit.
Thanks for doing my job for me.
So this song, we basically... Yes, I'm going to explain a little bit more. Fuck you. Now I'm self-conscious about it.
And there's that scene where you get wet, and then your jacket goes, and he goes, your jacket is now dry.
It's so awesome that you can do that. Do the speak and spell thing.
Do what?
Speak and spell.
Spell car, C-A-R.
spell... spell pussy toast.
Pussy toast. P-U-S-S-Y-T-O-A-S-T.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. See, before we had smartphones, we had these weird LCD things that would spell words for you, and that's how a lot of kids learned how to spell. So this song is, we convinced Lincoln to free, now you don't even have to see the episode, we convinced Lincoln to free the slaves by basically telling him, you have to tell the South to fuck off.
Yeah.
And so this is that song, and we've only ever played it one other time at a live show. So we hope you like it because yeah! It is the
It is literally the linchpin that holds the show together. So if you're not into this, the entire show is a pile of shit.
And they'll be listening to this podcast, so if you don't respond well, the show will not get picked up.
I'll cut this part out so people don't hear the song first. Yeah. But you're hearing it now! So it's a very important song. Oh, that's nice. Can you do that one more time? Okay. Nice.
Abe Lincoln was taller than a hickory tree and tougher than a bucket of dogs. As a child, he slept on a pile of rocks with a blanket of dirt in a house made of logs. He ended slavery and pissed off the Confederacy. And when they challenged his words, he said with great authority, "Put your lips around my balls and just suck and suck and suck and suck. Place those lips around these balls and just suck and suck and suck and suck. Put your lips around my balls and just suck and suck and suck and suck. I'm Abe Lincoln, here's my balls. So just suck and suck and suck and suck and suck." The shot rang out in 18 motherfucking 65. Abe now lay dead where previously he'd lain alive. When he knew the end was near, his last words were explicitly clear. He said, "Make sure you pass on to John Wilkes Booth what I'm saying here. Put your lips around my balls and just suck and suck and suck and suck. Place your L's around my B's and just S and S and S and S. Put your lips around my balls and just suck and suck and suck and suck. Take these 16th president balls and just suck 'em and suck 'em and suck 'em and suck 'em and suck 'em."
One time Abraham Lincoln sent a telegraph to a widow lady in Kentucky that read,
"And just suck and suck and suck. Everybody, put your lips around my balls. Come on, just suck and suck. Come here, come on.
Put your lips around my balls."
Nice. Should we do one for the ladies?
Sure.
"Put your lips around my lips."
Oh, it's weird.
"Suck and suck and suck and suck. Put your lips around my lips." All right. "And just suck and suck and suck. Bring it home. If you want to succeed in life, just remember the words that were definitely used by Abraham Lincoln. And just whisper to the wind, put your lips around my balls and just suck and 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 suck."
All right, good. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you guys very much.
And please,
thank you, Chris.
Join me in thanking all of my guests: Kevin Murphy, Bill Corbett, Michael Nelson, Paul and Storm, Kevin Pereira, Doug Benson, Judah Friedlander, Jonah Ray, and Matt Myra. Thank you so much for coming out to the Super Late Show. Enjoy the rest of your con. Enjoy your burrito, everybody. Thank you. Good night.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.